welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Call us and I promise we'll talk to you. Def Frat Guy coming into studio today. Terry Bradshaw is going to be on the show. Joe Buck, the man who's taking over the NFL. Fox pregame. And I did all those commercials with Leon, the cocky black wide receiver from the made-up team. Always drives me nuts when they have to make up teams, whether it's college movies or whether it's any kind of movie, any kind of thing. I don't like it when they go. I don't like it when they go to different. You know, when the kids from Melra or from 90210 go to made up colleges.
Yeah,
it's like the out here in Southern California. Do we not have 45 colleges from which to choose? You couldn't clear one of them.
Where'd they go? It was like California University.
College, yeah. University. Of California. It at California. There's a few ofs, and then there's some ats in the college world, but let's not digress. Anyway, comedian actor Patton Oswalt's also going to call in. Lisa Lampanelli opened up with both barrels to Patton yesterday, or at least was talking some smack around, so hopefully we'll straighten that out. More people are coming on the show than even that, but that's right. We'll get to that. So quickly, last night about 8:30, I was skipping my rope, as I do. I watch my TV and I skip my rope, and thank you. And that's when I reflect.
Wait. That's, I don't know that music's gay enough.
Okay. Yeah, make it gayer. It's the time I use to reflect, but this time a twist. Yeah.
No,
that's right. A little Vision Quest or something.
Well, he was a wrestler. Top Gun.
Really
Top
short.
Gun? Wow, I forgot
really
about this
short,
part.
Silky white shorts with white biker shorts underneath and puffy socks.
Mm-hmm. Puffy socks pulled up over the sweatpants.
Yeah, and a bandana tied around your head.
That's right. That's me.
Is this Vision Quest or Top Gun?
Top Gun.
So I was a lot of desire and getting higher back in the 80s and 70s.
They go together.
Yeah. So I was skipping my rope, and that's the time I used to reflect. Actually, ironically, not on the day. This time I was reflecting on other things I'd reflected about. So it was a reflection on some things I'd already reflected about. Wasn't exactly thinking about things that happened.
You're tripping me out, dude.
I was reflecting upon some reflections I'd had earlier. But nonetheless, skipped my rope. And when I was done, my wife was in the other room sitting on the computer with Sonny. He's the one that's built like a butt plug. It's built like a vending machine meets a butt plug. If vending machines sold butt plugs, like in Board Op Bill's Utopia, you know, because that's his Valhalla, where they
right,
they,
you get the butt plugs,
that's
or
where
the
you
poppers.
End up. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's no heaven for the gays, but this is their place.
Who's having butt sex?
So that's what he's built like. He's just a ball of cheese, is what he looks like. And but the girl, very petite little flower, she was sleeping. And I decided it was cuddling time, you know, because I allot them, you know, 9 to 12 minutes a day, and this is my time.
Wait, total or each?
Wow. Geez, yeah, I guess about six minutes each.
Okay.
And it was the girl's 5 or 6 minute time. I'd been through my busy day, done my work, taken my nap, jumped my rope, and now it was cuddling time, but the girl was asleep. But that's all right. Mm. I got her right out of bed. Pulled her out of bed, walked into the next room.
This is what they do, you know, 20 out of 24 hours, right? They're sleeping.
Well, you know, there's this thing where, and it's one of these things from, it's almost a sitcom thing and a movie thing where it's like, oh, shh, the baby's sleeping. I hate being shushed. I'm loud. It's embarrassing. Dave, I imagine this has happened to you a handful of times where you come walking into someone's house and then you're like, hey, someone got some new carpet, and then shh,
I think there have been a handful of times that I've walked into people's homes and they haven't.
Have not shushed
yes.
you.
Yes.
So you're saying that?
Yeah.
That's the anomaly
count
when you're not
being
shushed.
Count them on one hand the number of times in my 36 years it hasn't happened.
Yeah, it's humiliating to be shushed. And the kid's sleeping. And yes, the kid is sleeping. The dog is sleeping. The cat is sleeping. It's high noon. Everyone's asleep. That's what happens when you're 5 weeks old. You just sleep. And don't worry. They'll sleep again. And they never do that thing with toddlers, though, or infants, where they go, you can sleep when you're dead. They do that when you're older. When you're a kid and you're sleeping 20 hours a day, no one ever brings the Grim Reaper up. But anyway, I'm going to work that one in.
To the kids?
Well, work it into the old lady and the nanny. Hey, they can sleep when they're dead. Come on, we're going rock climbing.
Like Sam Elliott in Roadhouse.
We're going base jumping. Come on, kiddies.
So you woke the little girl up from her nap?
I got the little girl up, and I started walking in the next room, and my wife was like, what? She was asleep. And I said, it's 8:30 at night. Her bedtime is 9:30. What do you want? She's going to go to bed in an hour. She's fine. Wake her up. Put her on my knee, start playing around with her a little bit, and then all of a sudden the crying starts. and no reason at all. Just starts crying. Then now, of course, the wife's PO'd because crying. And now it's that kind of, it now then turns into novelty crying, where the kid is crying so hard that I thought she was going to sort of blow herself out like a fire when it rages too hard and then hits a powder keg and it can blow itself out that it actually rages so hard that it rages itself right out of oxygen. I thought she was going to blow herself out. She was screaming, and of course I'm a pig, and of course now the wife's going at it full tilt because I woke the kid up, which I've done many times, but they never done it. But as soon as she acknowledges it, and she's like, see what you did. And I'm like, see what you did. If you hadn't done the curse thing where you said, why'd you wake her up? This wouldn't be happening. Now I'm being punished. And then he's just rocking. And I do understand why those nannies from South America shake the little white kids until their brain doesn't work anymore. Because after about, it's not that long. It's not like 5 minutes. About 20 seconds. Just, you just want, and like I said, I do the daddy talking to the infant thing for the first few beats. Hey, Natalia, hey girl, come on, girl, hug her. But that quickly evolves into, hey, come on now. No good reason to cry. There's nothing. I'm not doing anything. I'm not molesting you. It's not unseasonably hot in here. You're not being attacked by fire ants. Hey, come on. Hey, knock it off. Seriously, dude. God damn. Jesus.
You're being completely irrational.
What's going on? You're lying in a huge bed. You got your baba. God damn it.
Did that help?
No, but I mean it. It just takes me a few beats before I start treating the thing that's been on the planet for 9 weeks like it's been here my whole, like a contemporary. Come on. Jesus. This is embarrassing. What is going on?
Suck it up.
Yes, go. My God, woman. You have no upper lip? Let's go.
That's
then my
nice.
Wife has to hear that.
It's nice
and
to
I understand
think.
The shake part. I got a little, I did a shake, I did a there and back, but then I started thinking, yeah, probably not a great idea to do the shake move, but you do the pacifier thing. Here's pacifier, here you go. The mouse, why don't they just, and then there's that thing where the wife comes, what are you doing? Because the crying sometimes can be at such a crazy pitch. And then of course, as luck would have it, as soon as the wife picks up the girl, she stops.
I was just going to ask you, do you take it personally? Because sometimes if I hold a baby and then it cries, I decide that it doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And it's about me.
Yeah, no, we crossed that bridge a long time ago with the kids. That's about week number two. We're still in the hospital, actually, when we crossed that bridge. That's all right. It's all right. I got my jump rope. Got my dog.
Don't need their love.
Devo.
You know what? I don't need to be validated by the kids or anyone else. That's right. I got my leg warmers. I got my tree-torn shoes. I have my baseball cap, but it's silky. My silky turquoise baseball cap. And then I have my sweatshirt with the neck cut out. And I'll just jump my rope in a montage sequence. It's thinking about the fire, desire, and going higher. That's what I do. I don't need those kids. I have my 80s soundtrack.
In other words, you turn into what Jack Silver is 24 hours a day.
Who's the poor SOBs have to sing background to crappy 80s songs?
They just go, fire.
Oh, wait, here it comes. Here it comes. That's the embarrassing part. I've said this once, I'll say it again. Would you rather have footage of you on YouTube doing a gay porn or footage of you playing the sax from an 80s movie?
Interesting.
It's a tough call.
With long hair, long
perm
hair.
Like Saint Elmo's Fire?
Saint Elmo's Fire all the way and really just blown away. Of course, you're not really playing the sax, so it's that much more humiliating.
Well, I guess it comes down to pitching or catching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. No, if you're pitching,
it's fine.
It's easy. Yeah. It's an easy call. But catching now, we got a head scratcher. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Terry Bradshaw going to be talking to the great Terry Bradshaw.
Now, he won a Super Bowl or two, yes?
I believe somewhere in the 70s, he was playing out. Well, geez, it was one of the Pennsylvania teams.
Well, wait
a
second.
Philly or Pittsburgh, huh?
Now that I think about it, it's Pittsburgh. And if I remember correctly, it was January 1975, 76.
How was the weather?
Oh, it was glorious. They were always in beautiful. They were always in Florida or California or whatever.
No, that's right, yeah.
The only thing that was, along with the weather, the only other thing that was consistent was that they came out on top.
Yeah. Steelers, 6 Super Bowls, lost 1. Is that correct?
Correct.
That ain't bad. We'll take ourselves a little break. Terry Bradshaw coming up after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jessie Jane.
I rolled a 12-sided die to use my elven crossbow.
You dirty little bitch. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, speaking of that, Patton Oswalt's going to be on the show later. Was that a Dungeons and Dragons thing?
Yes, I believe so.
All right. Well, Terry Bradshaw and I had a little mix-up. He is going to be in on the 7 o'clock hour, at least calling in 7 o'clock hour. But that's all right, because we had something we were going to get to in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll get to it here. Producer Angie is sitting in studio.
Thanks.
Good to speak to Angie.
Hi.
Are you sober? Are you seeing two of me?
No, just one of you today.
Is your room spinning?
She tastes like champagne.
No, I'm good this morning.
You don't have the shakes or anything?
No,
you're not
good.
Detoxing?
You're nursing.
Oh.
You're nursing.
I am not.
Yes. Angie, who had to be brought into a Vegas hotel via a wheelchair after a night of drinking at a strip club
and
a
licking.
Few months ago.
Right.
Drinking and licking.
Not my proudest moment.
Yeah, co-workers. Listen, I don't mind the boozers. You know, my only beef with Angie is we were at a strip club. I was getting the royal treatment. And hey, buddy! Ace Rockola. Here's all this Adam Carolla's dear friends in studio. Aaron Ray's the Jaeger shot glass at Tammy. Stage four. Ray's have a shot of Jaeger with the Ace Man. He's on mornings. Free FM. Free to drop your pants, Tammy. Let's go, baby. So I was doing a shot, and she pulled me aside in a rush, and back into the kitchen, said, I'll get you out of here. We're getting out of here. What's this?
I don't remember the strip club at all. I couldn't. If I was in it right now,
yeah,
I couldn't tell you what
I'm not a POW
like.
In Vietnam.
She couldn't do the math. She was so drunk she couldn't do the math that just because your boner was protruding from outside your zipper. That was not
but
enough.
But I like the sentiment that in her mind, she was trying to get you out of Nam.
I was trying to be helpful.
She was like Chuck Norris. Come on, buddy. We're going home. Well, we will in about 7 hours.
Sorry about that.
And then 4 hours later, she was being wheeled into the hotel And she's able-bodied. Well, that's for sure, but able, but wheeled in. Anyway, this topic we're talking about, which is firing, is something that Teresa stumbled onto in the newspaper, and we decided to make it a topic, and Angie has a story. So, Teresa, what got us into this?
Well, Angie and I were in our newsroom, as as we call it this morning, and we were discussing the news of the day. Two of the big stories of today have to do with firings, one of which is that the apprentice assistant, I guess she's the Donald's assistant, Carolyn. She apparently, according to the New York Post, there will be no more Carolyn. She has been let go from the Trump organization.
Ice princess.
Yes, very icy.
Snooty. I think she's higher up on the ladder than assistant. She would probably be insulted by that title.
Yeah, she's only his assistant in the boardroom. In the Trump organization, she was actually very high up. I think she worked in for one of his golf businesses.
Seems snooty, but very, very competent.
Yes, I always liked her on the show. And apparently, according to the New York Post, she's doing too many $25,000 speeches and endorsements, and Trump can't get a hold of her when he needs her. Mm-hmm. And so she's got the axe. And then also in the news, Radio Shack let go 400 employees via email.
Well, they are Radio Shack, after all. You know what I mean?
That's their business, electronics.
That's right. There you go.
What are they going to do?
And they never got the emails because all the employees use Radio Shack computers.
Well, and I said to Angie, thinking that, oh, Angie's never been fired. I've probably got a better firing story. I said, Angie, have you ever been fired? And then turns out she's got the best story ever.
I've only been fired once, and it was a few years back. I was dating my boss. I dated him for about 4.5 years.
Who was that?
His name was Man Cow.
Wait a second. There's a radio host named Man Cow.
Yes.
And you were dating.
I was dating him for several years. And when when I broke up with him, he fired me.
Which
did
seems
he
illegal.
Cite that as a reason?
No. I broke up with him, and he said, don't worry about coming into work tomorrow. I found someone to replace you.
Angie, you're fired.
Whoa.
You know, it's weird.
And then you said, so did my vagina.
There's Dave, I'm not really listening, but enough about your vagina. Let's focus on Angie for a second. This isn't all about your vagina. It's not always about your vagina. I'm amazed at a lot of folks. They do things I sort of have disdain for them, but I also am envious at the same time. Like, I would think, oh, I got dumped, now I'm wounded, now you're going to be fired, but I would never do it because I would think, well, that's something a horrible person would do, a very catty, selfish person would do that.
Yes.
A lot of people don't have trouble with that, I'm now realizing as I go through life.
Well,
they send snarky emails about themselves, about how they need to be treated, and blah, 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 and I realized I'm one of the few people that seems to have low enough self-esteem. I wouldn't fire you.
On the spot, yeah.
Wow.
He fired you face-to-face?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I was breaking up with him, I was packing up my stuff because I was living with him, too, to leave. And he said he brought someone in to change the locks on the doors of our apartment. What? And also fired me at the same time.
Why do you have to change the locks when someone is dumping you?
I don't know.
And leaving.
I think he thought I was going to come back and take his stuff. I don't know.
Good news is you're fired.
And why did you break up with him?
You know,
I mean,
he's
popular. He's a millionaire.
It just wasn't working out.
The toast of Chicago.
Wasn't working out. Always means something else.
Yes, there was somebody else.
You?
Yes, me.
Wow.
And then he became obsessed, if I'm not mistaken,
Yeah, he was a little upset about that.
So who, you were seeing the grease man? Maggie. She only goes with the morning DJs.
Right.
With funky names.
Yes.
Frosty?
Yes.
Fluffy?
No.
Boomer and the Nudge?
No.
Rover?
No.
No? But another man?
Yes.
The man you're currently with?
That would be the one, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah,
Disco Duck.
How did he find out that you had already found another guy?
I don't know that he actually ever. I mean, he kind of had a suspicion, but he never really. I didn't come out and tell him.
But he stalked you, though. Yes.
I mean, he wanted to get back together for a while. Yeah, it was. Yes.
He threatened to show up at your wedding.
Yes, he did.
Oh, really?
At the wedding.
Yeah.
How soon after you broke up did you get married?
About 3-4 years.
Angie.
You still
Angie!
Love me.
The Alfa Romeo's in the parking lot. Come on.
It was the graduate.
Well, wait a second. 3 or 4 years, I vow to do these things when I get dumped, but 20 minutes later I get distracted looking at my own reflection in a pool of water, and I forget about who I vowed to do this. I mean, destroying lives or breaking things up or winning back. Eventually, football season rolls around, and then I just get distracted again. But was he really 3 or 4 years into it still, into it, or did he make this proclamation when you left the apartment?
No, not when I left the apartment. No, it was, I still had friends who worked with him and for him, and I found out through them that he was trying to get someone to come to my wedding and disrupt it.
Well, let me make this. I think if you're going to do, I'm trying to think, you know, they say celebrities have big egos, but there's a lot of actors and writers and stuff that while they're sort of narcissistic and grandiose are also broken shells of people. I would say DJs are amongst the highest level of
screwed up.
Well, not screwed. Well, they're screwed up. I'm going to slam heroin and not answer my door. And then they're screwed up. I think the world was put here so that I could talk into this microphone. Screwed up. What is going on? I think morning show DJs have a certain degree of that. I don't think they could do what they do if they didn't feel that way.
I would agree, yeah.
Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
So it must have been exciting dating Man Cow at the beginning because you're in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like number one in Chicago, right?
I started dating him before he was big there. But yeah, I mean, it was cool. Yeah, for a while.
And you'd go out and doors would open and you'd get the best seats at every game and every restaurant and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But eventually, whoever you're dating, you're just dating the person after a couple of years, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then that you once it gets distilled down to that, then
you
either like
you have
the person.
Nothing in common and
yeah. Right.
Well, here's the best part of the story because I said, "Well, Angie, I mean that's clearly illegal. You can't just fire somebody because they dump you." And you know, was there any kind of? And she generously just stepped aside and
I was offered
away.
Some money not to say stuff and not to sue, which I didn't do either one of the things until.
Who offered
now.
You the money?
Some people at the radio station.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Through via him, but.
Yeah. So he offered you some shut-up money.
Yes.
And you didn't accept
and
it.
And I didn't. And now I wish... I'm glad I didn't.
And this is the first time you've spoken out about it.
I mean, I've talked about it. Just never on the radio.
I like that, though. The idea. And why didn't you take the money?
I don't know. I'm not... You know, they were afraid I was going to sue. I'm not litigious, so...
Right. I'm not litigious either, but if someone would have offered me a lump, I probably would have taken it.
I probably should have, but I felt it was kind of... Like dirty money, kind of.
You were drunk at the time?
I wasn't.
Plus, you already knew you had another boyfriend. Maybe you felt a little guilty.
Yes.
It wasn't like I had a rich boyfriend or anything, so.
No, but you feel there's a certain amount of guilt involved with you didn't end the relationship just because you decided it was time to end. You'd met another man.
There was a little guilt.
I do have some bad news, though. Apparently, Man Cow is litigious, and he's on the line for you right now for slandering him.
Wow.
Funny you say that, though, because Jaron had like a little evil grin, and I went back there. He's like, I'm trying to get Man Cow on the line now. So,
Man Cow on the line.
I know he's doing a show, but maybe during his commercial, he can call in. We're going to give him the opportunity to defend himself, and we'll see if he calls in.
I'm going to go with,
I'm going to guess he's going to
say no on that one.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being forthcoming, Angie.
Good story.
And I do love someone who gets fired and doesn't sue somebody. Overall, sometimes bad things happen to you, and even though you could find somebody to blame, doesn't mean you get to sue them. Sometimes you get rear-ended, and you go to the chiropractor, and then you go to the auto body shop, and you move on with your life. Sometimes you get fired, or you get dumped, or whatever. There's not always somebody to sue. Society has turned into this, but I don't like it. I like the dignity. I like the quiet dignity of moving on. And I would suggest that the strength that you gain from doing that far outweighs whatever monetary compensation you are going to get overall. You know what I mean? I mean, you could get 50 grand of hush money and you'd be through that in a year. Or you could have the strength and dignity you get from carrying your life in a certain way. And that you can't put a price tag on.
I feel good about it.
Now get me some coffee.
Yeah, you didn't want that Man Cow. I'd say blood money, but it's milk money.
That's right. All right, Angie. Well, for what it's worth, I think you're doing a great job here.
Thank you.
I don't know exactly what you do, but I look through that window and I see you doing it, and I see you tuning out Big Tad every morning, and that is a feat. Well, mazel tov to you. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, We'll do some news and some sports.
I'd like to know if there's some good firing stories.
Oh.
Obviously, Angie had a great one.
Oh, I think I think you may be right. I have a firing story, Teresa.
I've got a good one.
I know you've been fired, baby. Oh, man.
Only once.
Really?
Yeah, I may still work there, but we'll get to that.
Wow. I like when people insult you by reacting. Really?
How about this? You know what?
130 pounds. Really? Really?
How about this? I've had a boyfriend.
31. Really? Wow. Wow. Bikini model. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
People realize how insulting it is to be amazed.
How about this?
A B minus. Wow.
I was a cheerleader.
A cheerleader.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wow. No, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You dated her? Wow. Really? Really? Yes, that's
ass. Has she had some work done since you dated her or something?
Yes. You understand it is as insulting as calling the person fat when you keep saying, really, 125 pounds. Really? You don't? Really?
Big boned.
Okay, so your firing stories. 866-901-ADAM. I have one. Sheck, I'm sure you could muster one.
Unfortunately, I cannot.
Well, after your review,
I can make one up.
Okay, please make one up.
Great story, compelling and rich.
Well, T has one,
yes.
And we'll hear that. I have one. We'll hear that, and we'll hear yours after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's Program Director Jack Silver with what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
What up, Brosif? It's your homeboy, Jack Silver. Hell of a show for you today from Super Troopers and Beer Fest. We got Jay Chandraskar. What the hell kind of a name is that? Also, play-by-play man Joe Buck. Hey, with any luck, he'll stick around and do our sports permanently. And also from Meet the Fockers and Legally Blonde, Alana Ubach. Hey, with any luck, she'll stick around and do our sports permanently. And it's Thursday, so that means the Def Frat Guy, too. It's going to be off the easy. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. All right. Well, we were talking about being S-canned, being fired, your stories. Teresa has one, I have one, and you have one. So we'll talk to you in a moment. But first, Teresa Strasser and why she got fired.
Yes. Well, I've never been fired from a job in show business or as a writer. But previous to that, I was a waitress at a large chain restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say the name because Houlihan's might get upset.
I understand.
But so I was in San Francisco and I was working there, and I've been working there all summer working to earn money for college, and maybe I wasn't the best waitress. One time in particular, the Houlihan's in San Francisco is on Pier 39, on the wharf, and you look out and you see the bay, mm-hmm. and sometimes the tourists would look out and go, is that Alcatraz?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, no, there's another big jail on an island in the middle of the bay. What do you think? Stuff like that.
That's right.
So I get to work, and little by little, my shifts were, the dinner shifts were the big money and the lunch shifts weren't as good. And little by little, I noticed my shifts were all lunch shifts, and then there were fewer and fewer. And then I got to work and I looked at the schedule, which they would post every week, and I wasn't on the schedule. And that was how I knew. So for all I know, I still work there.
Yeah, it's like you checking the roster to see who made the team and you just weren't on it.
I didn't make Team Houlihan's. I mean, Team Chain Restaurant.
But you were never spoken to.
No. No.
I have had to fire people, which, you know, people always talk about, oh, getting dumped, nothing worse. Dumping people is, depending on how you're constructed, how your personality, what kind of personality you have, and the way mine is I would rather be dumped than dump somebody.
I think that's most guys.
Really?
Yeah, they just act like jerks, so you dump them. They can't handle dumping you.
It's the Jack Tripper method.
Dumping is painful, and firing is painful. And when I had to fire my gay assistant, Matt, about 6 or 9 months ago, and firing the gays is like trying to... It's like trying to give your cat a bath. They do not go easily, the gays.
Really?
Yeah, what you want is...
out an eye on the way out.
Here's what you want is you want a big sort of lug loser guy to fire. You know, you basically want to fire a big Tad or Kyle or phone screener. You know, it's like, hey, Kyle, sorry, it's just not working out. Okay, dude, you want to punch me in the stomach or something, or are we cool? You can just leave. Okay.
What?
That's cool. Could I have a soda? Yeah. Okay, dude.
What happened with Brad?
Well, are we talking about Matt?
Matt, sorry.
Matt, well, you know, whether you're dumping somebody, Kyle Sullivan of a sign says he doesn't even get paid, which is probably why he didn't argue with me.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Still, technically, I think I could fire you, even if it was just symbolically.
You could let him go.
Well, Matt is super gay and, you know, washing a cat in a tub. You know, I didn't, you know, you never, you know, all that. And it's the same when you're breaking up with somebody. Please just quietly take it. It's so uncomfortable when the arguments and the finger pointing, and it's just so.
How dare you, sir?
I offered him some money as sort of a, you know, little severance thing. It was out of my own pocket. It was like $1,500 or something. He was PO'd. Like, is that it? That all? Then you start getting angry. Like, hey, listen, buddy. I've been SK'n many times. I never walked away with $1,500 cash.
He worked for you for what, 4 months?
Eh, maybe 4 or 5 months. Yeah. It was, anyway, like I said, if you want to do something, there's certain cultures, certain ethnicities, certain whatever. You don't want to fire a heavyset black woman with long nails. You know, there's certain folks you want to fire and certain folks you don't. I don't want the heavyset black women with the long nails. There's the unicorn sprayed on them, and I don't want to fire the gays. There could be, you could actually physically throw down. There will certainly be a shouting match. It may get ugly. It's just not, it's not going to be pleasant.
Unexplosive.
You want a 22-year-old heavyset male with, like, sort of slacker meets Hesher. Those are the guys you want to fire. Okay, dude. The guys who wear the skater tennis shoes but don't tie them, that's the guy you want to ask can. So that's painful. The other thing is I've had to fire people in person, too, which blows. When Jimmy and I fired our manager, Jimmy, who's much, much prouder than I am and much more stoic than I am, said, oh, we are going in there to fire the person. We're busy. Let's just pick up the phone. Oh, no, we owe it. We owe it to him to fire him, and you got to look him in the eye. We owe it. We owe him at least that. Well, first off, how much do you owe a guy you're S-canning?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, obviously, they're not doing a good job for you. Maybe they're ripping you off. Maybe they're showing you short shrift. Either way, you're getting rid of them for a reason. They're a horrible employee. They're a horrible manager. They're a horrible agent. They're a horrible boyfriend, a horrible girlfriend. Why do you owe it to them to look them in the eye? And owe it to them? I would rather somebody just pick up the phone, fire me, into my answering machine, and we'll never speak again, instead of the very uncomfortable eye-to-eye. And then there's that weird part after you're done where, are we done? Or should we make a little small talk and pretend like this isn't as uncomfortable as it is?
Not to mention the lead-up to the actual.
Not to mention the lead-up when Kimmel and Carolla would like to swing by the office. Even though Kimmel and Carolla have never swung by the office before. Hey, why? You fellas want to grab lunch? No, we're just going to come by about lunchtime, and we'll be talking to you in your office. What, you want me to order some deli? No, not going to be staying long. So then there's that whole weird part. And then, of course, that needs to be made. That appointment needs to be made on a Monday or a Tuesday when the meeting's going to take place on Thursday or Friday. You don't call and go, we're coming over right now. The person's in a meeting. We'll be coming over in a few days. Now they get to sit on that. They get to wrestle around. They get to go home and say to their wife, Kimmel and Carolla are coming by on Wednesday. I don't know. They want to talk. This can't be good. Then you get the call from them on Tuesday, which is to try to make it up call. Hey, you guys got Dodger tickets. You guys want some diet right behind home plate. Now it's even more and weird and uncomfortable there because now they're dancing because they sense danger. No, we won't be using those tickets, but we'll see you on Wednesday.
Crisis management.
Yeah, this is an episode of Entourage, by the way.
You go into the office, and then there's that weird part where you're making the small talk. How about them bills this year? I think they say, could you shut the door? Can we shut the door? Now you have to shut the door and you sit down. It's excruciating for us. It's excruciating for them. Just do it over the phone. I will take zero offense. If anyone is listening who would like to dump me or fire me or do whatever they like to do to me, do it over the phone. It will be much appreciated. And if I don't pick up, Say it right into the answering machine. I will not hold it against you.
I got once, by the way. I've never been fired, but I did once get severely reprimanded because we were doing team building exercises in a corporate sales job, and we were doing those things where they give you the little test, like, I am ... and you have to list 10 things and stand up in front of your peers and say what they were. So I was up in front of 25 people, and everybody said, a hard worker, you know, a salesman with integrity, and so on and so forth. And I said, I am a little teapot, short and stout.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
And I was spoken to sternly for that. For
I would think that would really enrich team building.
Mike?
Yes?
You have a story of being S-canned?
My boss, he kind of canned me for sleeping with his wife.
Slept with his wife?
Hmm.
That's uncomfortable. Then how did he find out about that?
Well, several times I used to just call in sick and end up over his house, but this time it got kind of wild and I left my check stub in his bedroom.
Ooh.
So.
Now, psychologists would argue that that was probably done intentionally
and that she
in fact wanted to get fired, leaving your pay stub from your employer in the guy's house on the nightstand.
It was like off my pants, and it kind of like, I guess it fell off. I didn't pay attention.
I understand you didn't hot glue it to the top of the counter and then blow on it until it was cooled. But still, the fact that it just came out of your pocket and landed on the nightstand. Or I would argue that she wanted him to find out, too, because she didn't go through the room. When I cheat, I go through that room with a semen sniffing dog. You understand? I go through with one of those purple woods lights you see on CSI. I put everything back. I do everything. If there's a bookmarker in, I'll make sure it's on the same page. That's the way the Ace Man rolls. And my wife knows. I've told her as much. I think those guys who make those stupid proclamations, they say stupid, horrible things, and then they try to make it all right by saying, she knows. She knows what I do. She knows I cruise for kitty porn on the internet for 9 hours a night. I tell her. I'm up front with her. She knew what she was marrying. Oh, okay. Well, all is forgiven. Yeah, it's different. I wonder what job he was in. I'm guessing it wasn't white collar. Mike, did you guys all work at the same law firm?
No, not really. We kind of like electrician.
Electrician?
Yeah.
That's what you did?
Yeah.
You did residential work, commercial work?
Residential.
All right. So a construction guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see, that makes sense. And this is how those guys roll, too. Now, I know there's a lot of cheating in the white-collar world and that kind of stuff, but that's more crunching, you know, that's cooking the books and that kind of stuff. The blue-collar world, I imagine a fair amount of humping going on with other people's wives and girlfriends. Thomas?
Oh, yes. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Tell us why you were fired.
Well, we were working for a company, and what they did is they FedExed all of us terminations, I think it was 2 days after Christmas, and that way they didn't have to pay us for the
days off.
Holidays, yeah.
Yeah.
So they must have known a week or 2 weeks prior to Christmas, and they just sent us a nice FedEx, said, basically, you know, your service is no longer required.
What kind of job was it?
It was engineering. It was an engineering job, but they...
Yeah,
sort of dismissed this kind of ingloriously.
That does blow, and especially nothing worse than getting fired when you're going to get a few paydays coming up. I've never had that kind of job. I've always just been a carpenter or done whatever, cleaned carpets, done whatever. I've never had a job that I was scared that I was going to get fired from. I would have been relieved most of the time because I love money, but I hate work even more than I love money. So I would assume. My feeling was, and especially with carpentry, it was always sort of nomadic. Like, well, if you get fired from this job, you'll just go to the next department and start framing that one. It was always sort of that way. So it was never fear. The guys I feel sorry for are the guys who put in 20 years working at the same GM plant down on the floor, and then all of a sudden they get S-canned. These guys have GEDs or just high school diplomas. They're making an inflated salary. That's why they're getting fired and companies moving to Mexico, but they're getting $29 an hour plus golden time. Next thing you know, they're S-canned, and their beef is, now what am I supposed to do, work at a McDonald's? Well, that's the problem right there. The problem is you were getting $30 an hour to do something that someone who you could pay $9 an hour could do. That's why your job is being terminated. We can't afford it anymore. Toyota is undercutting us and taking up the lion's share of the market. We're moving to Mexico, and yes, you must now work at Arby's. But I don't think that's GM's fault. I think perhaps you should have continued your education. That's just me. All right, the more you know. But that position where you get that pink slip and you realize, well, can't pay the mortgage now, and that's the only gig in town, and that's the only thing you've done for the last 25 years. Since high school, that's all you've done is put fenders on GM trucks, and that's it now. Now it's that. Open a nursery at your own school. I mean, it's your own home, which is super creepy. Or what, Brusket?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. What do you got?
Dave,
oh, yes.
Dave doesn't want to do that, but...
All right. All right.
What?
You don't have point at the thing you scribbled out and say he doesn't want to do it.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
We're going to play NFL player or Star Wars character, but we're not doing it till 9 o'clock.
All right.
I see.
That's what I'm just explaining.
Well,
I
have that to look forward to.
I'm a nerd.
Oh, somebody hit their boss in the face with a lemon. We'll do that. And, Bruskett's going to get hit in the face with a potato later on today when that deaf frat guy comes in. Darren?
Yeah, hey.
For overproducing the show. Go ahead, Darren.
I was working for a set company in North Hollywood, and the boss's wife had a son that she hadn't seen since she adopted him away as a little baby, got him a job in our set company and put him to work. Should have never been working there in the first place. We finished the California Cooler commercial, and we're having a fruit fight out in the scene dock in the set yard. And he runs by, and I hit him in the face with a fastball with a lemon, exploded on his mouth, burst his lip open. I had worked there 2 years. Next day, I was fired.
Well, you attack the boss's son with citrus, and there's no easier way to get fired from a job. All right, Darren, but did you land on your feet?
Oh, absolutely. I've been in television production 20 years.
Mm-hmm. You live in North Hollywood?
Santa Clarita.
No. All right. Well, good times there, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
When life gives you lemons, throw a fastball at your boss's son's head.
Yeah, it's funny. You throw a rock, you can do some damage. People don't realize green fruit put a dent in you, too. All right, T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, you may have heard about this very sad story in San Francisco where this guy mowed down a bunch of pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear from a guy who escaped that. Very interesting. And also, John Mark Carr's brother speaking out. You'll want to hear that.
I'll tell you, if it's anything other than kill him. Kill him and then kill him again. And I got to tell you, I'm now getting my own DNA test because I do not believe we're related. If it's anything short of that, I want him killed, too. If it's hey, listen, blood is thicker than water. He's family. I'll always stand by. I want him put down, too. Put him right on the lap. Give him the hot seat. Also, Terry Bradshaw, this time for reals. Terry Bradshaw going to be on the show. News, sports, Terry Bradshaw, all coming up after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. He's gone to school for 6 years, but his education's never done.
Hell yeah.
Cause all he does is fund no beers and fire his potato gun. Now he's gonna teach you all about the DFG.
All about the DFG.
Delta, Fu, Gamma, don't you see? All you gotta do is repeat after me.
DFG.
Delta, Fu.
Easy as
Louie, Louie. Owen Moose gets a Woody for Shade Ashley. DFG, Delta Fu and me.
How are you, Delta Fu?
Yeah, he's wandering the halls as we speak, chomping at the bit. He's got a movie idea. I love it. We'll talk about it more in depth when he comes in. But when we had the star Jason Statham. Jason Statham, yes, the guy from The Transporter and all those good movies, Italian Job, stuff like that. He has a movie. He was in here a couple days ago. He was talking about his movie, which is Crank. He has been injected with some sort of drug, and he has to keep his
adrenaline
pumping at a certain level, otherwise he'll die. That frat guy has a movie. I'm sorry, Jason, but I like the premise better. I don't know about the execution, but the premise. It's called Buzz. He has to maintain at least a 4-beer buzz through the long weekend over in Lake Havasu. Otherwise, he dies. And just imagine. Imagine the hijinks that ensue. If imagine having to maintain at least not being able, like the movie Speed, not being able to dip below a 4-beer buzz for 4 days straight.
Well, I saw him in the hallway, too, and he's very hush-hush about, I said, you know, who do you expect maybe will play you in the picture? He wouldn't answer that, maybe because he couldn't hear me, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that with him. But first, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Ernesto was downgraded to a tropical storm. Meanwhile, Hurricane John pummeled Mexico's Pacific coast with winds and rain. If you're planning going to Puerto Vallarta, which is a very, very popular among Mexico's most visited resorts, you might want to think twice about that.
I had a Hurricane John over there in Mexico after eating some bad chimichurri sauce many years ago.
Was it ever downgraded?
No, Cat 5.
Cat 5?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, the winds, about 125 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's about what they were.
Well, we spoke earlier about this. I mentioned this, that a pedestrian was killed in San Francisco and 14 others hospitalized. This was on Tuesday. A 29-year-old Afghani immigrant drove his Honda Pilot through the streets of San Francisco. He went up one street, down another, occasionally went the wrong way. He was picking people off on crosswalks and on the sidewalk, striking pedestrians. He struck a bicyclist. This was in at least 11 locations. Now,
the bad news is he's going to do jail time. The good news is his family will be able to sue Honda because they made the vehicle that he ran the people over with. Do the math. If they never were in existence as a company, those people would still be alive
today. Is there anywhere in the contract, anywhere in the paperwork that I signed that said I shouldn't run over human beings? I don't see it in there.
Be prepared for a new sticker on your sun visor, everybody.
Avoid pedestrians and bicyclists.
That's right. Well, and listen, let me say this about those goddamn stickers you effing lawyers force the automakers to stick all over the sun visor, the big yellow ones about the airbags and the kids and the check the manual and everything. Please just stick them on my very expensive foreign automobiles. Do not hot glue them to it so I can't get it off. So you have a car which is Conley leather and beautiful hand-stitched and maple inlay in the dash. You have a $70,000 car that comes out of England that was hand-built by Craftsman. And then you have a yellow sticker that is hot glued to the mohair sun visor, and it is bright yellow, and it is big, and it is ugly, and is the exact same sticker you would find in a $13,000 Kia.
Allow me to cheer you up. Allow me to cheer you up. One man escaped the carnage.
Still unhappy. I burnt a hole in my sun visor of my BMW attempting to peel one off with an industrial hot air gun. I burnt a hole in it.
Do you want to hear the clip or not?
Yes.
Go.
He tried to come up on the sidewalk and hit us. Like he was on a power trip or something. I don't know what his problem was, but he's trying to run everybody down. He was mad at somebody.
Maybe he was mad about the sticker. I don't know.
That could be the Ace Man. Well, very, very sad, but sort of surprising it doesn't happen twice a day in every city in this country. If you think about, if you didn't come from this planet and you were just doing the math, like where you're like, well, they're these big boxes and they're made of metal and they're 4,000 pounds and there's people that pilot these boxes, although they're not very well qualified. A lot of them are doing their makeup or talking on cell phones. Most of them have some sort of prescription medication or something in them. A lot of them are drunk and they're asked to stay in this sort of narrow motorway while people walk. Oh, what do the people have for protection? Nothing. They're just on foot. Oh, what's to stop them from hitting the people? There's nothing. There's a curb's about 4 inches high. Well, why aren't they just driving down? You think this would happen every day. You think, at least an axle will snap and a station wagon's just going into it. Doesn't happen that much.
It's a good point. Now, according to reports, this 29-year-old was suffering from delusions and stress. And how many of us are?
Oh.
Behind the wheel.
Yes. I wish that was a viable excuse for running people over.
Now, John Mark Carr, you may wonder, how's he doing in jail? Well, his half-brother Nate...
Carr, I get it.
Yes.
It's good stuff,
Carr,
T.
Thank you. His half-brother, Nate, who hadn't seen Carr for years, because not the automobile, the pedophile, was on the run due to an arrest on child porn charges.
Pedophile, bad name for an automobile.
The Honda pedophile?
Yeah.
It goes very slowly with candy behind it.
I thought the Charade was a bad name for a car. Pedophile, even worse. Or at least on par with Charade. Sorry, he said...
The brother visited Carr in jail. They hadn't seen each other in a long time because Carr had been on the lam. And here's what the brother had to say about his visit.
He seemed very stable, very calm, just like the old John that I used to know. I mean, he was just didn't miss a beat. I mean, you know, we had some touching moments in there, but we also had some time where we had some laughter, and it was good. It was a really good connection.
I would like him imprisoned as well. Now, you went and hung out with the world's creepiest man. As if you were talking about a guy on your college football team who got a DUI and, you know, got suspended for a game. He is the world's creepiest man. You are his half-brother, by the way, which means that's all the excuse you need. You are half out of the relationship. You should be denying to people that you've ever heard the guy's name before this, yet you're going in there, well, we had some jokes, we had some laughs. It's a good time.
Well, it's never easy to fire an employee, as we were speaking about earlier. That is unless you're Radio Shack, which notified 400 workers by email that they would be dismissed. And by the way, here's what the email said. Quote, the workforce reduction notification is currently in progress. Unfortunately, your position is one that has been eliminated.
Howie Long sent it out himself.
That was kind.
Does he still do those commercials?
Yeah, does he?
I don't know.
I know Terry Hatcher doesn't.
Hatcher doesn't do it. Maybe
She's
Long
moved
does.
On. Well, in entertainment news, you may have heard that Jessica Simpson reportedly found herself a new man, John Mayer, but she's lost her voice. Now, she's trying to promote her new album, A Public Affair, but she's having trouble. And if you think Jessica is faking, this is an actual clip of Jessica Simpson speaking to a reporter yesterday.
I feel fine. I just got no voice, so it makes me sad.
Sounds like Perez Hilton a little bit, if you think about it.
She tasted like champagne.
Scary.
I feel fine. I just got no voice, so it makes me sad.
She tasted like champagne.
It'd be nice if it just went away altogether and never came back. No more crappy singing, no more talking, no more confusion about chicken of the sea being chicken or tuna. It'd be nice.
Buffalo wings.
That way we could really just focus on her boobs. That's what we need to do.
Well, here's a sad story. A 53-year-old woman in Tennessee, weighing in at between 500 and 800 pounds. She needs 24-hour care, you know, because she's, you know, immobile. Unfortunately, her husband and 23-year-old daughter from a previous beau were neglecting the obese woman. Why? Because they were having sexual relations, according to an NBC affiliate there in Tennessee.
Stepdaughter for the guy.
Yes. All stepdaughter, right. 24.
Not frowned on in Tennessee, by the way.
Well,
looked as a step up.
Interestingly enough, it is considered incest in Tennessee.
Ship.
Now, they were having sex often in front of this poor, obese woman. So she called the cops saying, quote, they left me sitting in my own filth. They were both arrested for willful abuse, neglect, and incest, which is... It is considered incest even though they're not blood.
They had sex in front of the morbidly obese woman because there wasn't a second bedroom in the trailer or just to F with her? Because if it was just to F with her, I'm cool.
I'm guessing a little bit of both. Unfortunately, this woman can't testify in court on her own behalf because she can't move.
Well, a lot of guys think about baseball in order to add a few minutes to the lovemaking session. But I would argue an 800-pound wife... that's it lying in her own filth moments away, just feet away from where you're doing her daughter. I would say that's the ultimate addition to time.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm going to try that next time. Forget about thinking about the baseball.
Okay, well, lastly, on the sex tip, according to a survey by Travelodge, 1 in 12 people has fallen asleep during sex. That means 8% of us, roughly, have fallen asleep during sex. Women twice as likely to fall asleep as men. The survey also finds 20% of people have fallen asleep on the job.
Well, I don't usually get sex until someone falls asleep. So for me,
get out of mom's house.
It's 100%.
It's a prerequisite.
Wait for the roofies to kick in or just fatigue. Either way, I'll wait it out. And when the Sandman comes, enter Ace.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. reports. Do it, Dave.
All right, my comments shall be brief because I eagerly anticipate the phone call from the four-time world champion, Terry Bradshaw. Now, speaking of Terry, it's time. It's finally here. Today is the day. NFL, a week away. However, to whet your appetite, college football begins tonight. And by the way, I have my fantasy football draft tonight, too. No! I'm over the moon about it. Just
You're
one.
You're turning me on. Stop.
Just one. I don't have the West Coast one until next week. But anyway.
Multiple drafts.
That's right. Now, 7 p.m. tonight, Valley of the Sun, Northern Arizona, heading south to Tempe to play the ranked Arizona State Sun Devils. One of many games being played. You got South Carolina, Mississippi State, so many others. I can't wait. Can't wait. In the meantime, I shall discuss the national pastime. Dodgers rolling five straight now. The venerable one, Greg Maddux, put down the Cincy Redlegs last night to keep the Bums three up on the San Diegos in the NL West. The aforementioned Padres, meantime, a half game up, one and a half games up in the wild card. You know what? I know this is not sports related, but it's the two-year anniversary of the Dave Matthews Band bus being on a bridge above the Chicago River, and they made the dump. They waste dump from
that.
The bus, and it went all over a cruise
yes.
boat, all over the platform
yeah,
of a
the
cruise
mudslide.
Boat.
I love that.
And then it gave me, of course, my all-time favorite line that I've ever come up with.
Yes.
When the poop fell on the ship and everything,
mm-hmm.
the one passenger said the other, "Now that's what I call poop deck." Huh?
I'm laughing because the phone was ringing. My phone that has never rang in this studio
By the way,
before.
I've never seen Bruska move faster.
What happened?
Than to turn the phone off.
The phone is never
All right,
been
quickly, in tribute.
That was Kimmel begging you not to tell that joke again.
Poop deck.
Couldn't get through.
Now. In homage to the great Terry Bradshaw, everybody says, "Oh, he's such a dumb guy. Oh, he's not a smart guy." I want to do a quick thing of people who are dumber and richer than he is.
Should I answer and just see who it is? I'm kind of curious.
Dumber and richer than Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Hi, who is this? Oh, it's Terry Bradshaw.
What gives?
He didn't like being called dumb.
Calls in? No, I said other people.
This is
people.
Teresa. You're actually, I think you might be calling on the right or wrong phone line. Depending
says he's on. Says he's on here. Should I try punching him up here?
Let's try punching you up.
Wait a minute.
We have to put you on hold. I'm very sorry, sir. This is embarrassing.
Oh, good times.
This is no way to treat a Hall of Famer. I won't stand for it.
All right, let's try this. Terry?
What?
Yeah, buddy.
I'm sorry, that wasn't me.
Anything.
Terry, thanks for being on the program.
Okay, now who am I talking?
This is Adam Carolla.
Adam's apple.
Uh-oh. Terry's off the meds.
What is
Terry?
Happening?
Is this Mike August?
This is bizarre.
Right. What was that?
Bruska, you're in grave danger of overproducing the show.
Or under.
Was that Terry Bradshaw?
No.
No?
I swear when I picked up the phone, it was Terry Bradshaw. I'm not kidding.
Sounded like him for a beat, but... All right, Dave?
I don't... My head's spinning.
Dave, hold on. You're telling us a story about being fired?
Hold on.
I am red in the face. About the way we're treating the four-time Super Bowl champion. Two-time Super Bowl MVP.
It's time for Dave Damaschek.
Now, these are people that are dumber than Terry Bradshaw.
Let's make
but richer than Terry Bradshaw.
Yes,
Dave Damaschek's weekly rankings, brought to you by Heinz Ketchup.
All right, quickly, I don't want to do too many athletes. That'd be too easy. Mike Tyson, Sean Kemp. Hot Rod Williams, who literally ate himself out of the league. Got too fat. He couldn't control himself.
Dumber than Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, dumber and as rich. Jenna Jameson. She's no bright bulb.
I don't want to crap on your point, but I'm not sure if Tyson has much left in the T-bills. You know what I mean?
Meaning what? Oh, financially.
Yeah, he's made a lot over the years.
If you ever were worth, say, $50 million, which you certainly was.
Okay.
And you blow it, I think that's pretty much the best indicator of stupidity.
Because I don't know if he reads a lot, but he has read Chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bankruptcy joke for all the accountants.
Elvis shoots a TV.
Yeah.
Not only is he stupid, he's a jerk. The Ramses, we're back to them. They clearly did it, and they're the ones who wrote the murder note After killing their own child.
Yeah.
That's pretty stupid.
Allegedly.
MC Hammer blew all his wad on his chums.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson, of course.
Mm.
Anybody who ever wins the lottery. And number one, Ernst Blofeld. James Bond's arch nemesis. 6 pictures he appears in James Bond movies. He can't kill him.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be an evil genius.
Good Christ.
6 movies? That's it. Get Brad on that.
Dave Damashek's number one sport.
I think Terry was laughing so hard from that poop deck joke he couldn't.
That's solid gold, I'll tell
Terry.
Hello?
Yes, Terry Bradshaw.
I'm afraid to say anything. I've talked to everybody so far.
Sorry, buddy.
That's okay.
Terry, we're honored to have you on the show. Of course, I'm a huge football fan and am right in your wheelhouse age-wise, as is our sports guy, Dave Damashek, of course, hailing from Pittsburgh. So he's
Where's Teresa from?
San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was going to say right. Jaimetown, but we're not allowed to call it that anymore, wrong. Are we?
Yeah.
Yes. Terry?
Yes.
I'm going to give you some nice props and plugs coming up, but first, should we talk a little football?
Sure.
What do you, first off, what do you think about T.O.?
Well, aren't you tired of T.O.?
Yes, I am, but yet I'm intrigued. It's sort of like when you have a painful, loose tooth, you have to keep flicking it with your tongue. You can't stop it.
The media circus and... you know what, I admire his talent and his courage, and he showed a couple of years ago. The rest of him I can do without. He is just makes you uncomfortable.
How
I feel bad for Bill Parcells to have
yes.
to constantly deal with this guy. I feel as though he was forced on him by Jerry Jones. All he cares about is his money. He's got his money, and now he'll claims he'll just fit right in. But I guarantee, if he's not catching footballs, he'll be complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of him. He's the kind of guy that you just I don't want to be around. I damn sure don't want to play with him.
Well, how would he have gone over back in the heyday of the Pittsburgh Steelers
the
in the
Chaz
70s?
Chaz Knoll wouldn't have stood for this.
No,
yeah, Chaz Knoll, Rocky Blyer, Franco Harris. How would these guys have handled this?
He would not have made it. He would have been gone so fast. Of course, with the character issues and everything that they go through now in evaluating players, you would like to think they would pick up on that if, in fact, that even surfaced when he was coming out of the small school he went to. But after a while, the issue on the sidelines, the talking about Garcia, the nailing of the quarterback, Donovan McNabb,
right.
I would could not stand this guy. I would try to knock him out with a football. He's the kind of person that he's the kind of person that it's unfortunate that the media and it gathers around him, and we see and the selfish attitude and selfish player, and our kids see this, and this is not what winning is all about. He is not the exemplary person that we need in a leadership role, and yet he gets featured every day. And I don't like players like this. I don't like being around them. I don't like talking about them. Be talented, certainly. The rest of it is just too much.
It's
a distraction.
I think we have a clip, by the way, of Deion Sanders defending him.
Oh, of course Deion's going to defend him. He's just like him.
I like that.
You want this guy to play in some preseason games when he's a known workaholic. He's a dog on the field, man. He's going to make your whole team better. Your secondary is going to be better because of the way he practices. And you're going to push him out there before he's ready because you want to see him. He has, 10, 12 years worth of film of what he's done on the field, and you still question him and doubt him. I mean, these mind games and these games, they're stupid. First of all...
Yeah, Lance Allworth has 10 or 12 years of film of what he's done on the field as well, but doesn't mean he can play on your team, does it?
Well, you have to understand, Deion and T.O. to some extent are a lot alike.
Yeah.
There are players that are It was all about them.
And I know.
Deion never made a tackle. Deion Stuiver on the island by himself, and while a great player, of course Deion is going to come to his defense. But you have to understand something. Let me explain something to you about winning. Winning is done with a team concept. Everybody working together, everybody caring about one another. Not people over there being 11 individuals only wanting their numbers, their catches. Mm-hmm. We saw that with Chad Johnson in Cincinnati when he wasn't getting his catches, and he goes in at halftime and pitches a fit. We see too much of that where people only care about themselves.
If I was Parcells, I hate to cut you off, but if I was Parcells, I'd pull Terrell Owens aside and say, there's no T in team. And then I would quickly backpedal.
What about there's no T in T-O?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm down there in that area, and enough already. I've had enough. I don't care how good he is. You mess up the chemistry of a team, and it's over with. What's going to happen if he goes two or three games and doesn't catch a pass, yet they're winning big, and Terry Gland is doing great, and these young kids they have are doing great? What's going to happen? Is he going to be...
He's not going to take that well.
And I'm going to tell you, it's going to erupt.
All right, well, listen, I know I brought it up, but I've now grown weary of T.O.
Too. It's also interesting that Terry would talk about team and supporting the team at all costs. Terry, you remember when you called in back in January, just before the Pittsburgh Steelers paid a visit to Indianapolis Colts, the top-seeded team in the AFC playoffs. Remember what you predicted there?
No.
Let's take a listen at Indianapolis this weekend.
Peyton Manning is just he's just too smart, and they got too much speed out there.
The only way
I see that Pittsburgh can beat Indy is they have to rush, you know, like a couple hundred yards. They have got to keep that football away from the Colts, and when they have it, they have got to score, and you've got to put Colts in a one mode. You've got to put them into a throw.
Mm-hmm.
How about that, Terry?
Well, he didn't make a prediction there, did he?
He said that the Colts were going to beat the Steelers.
Well, he said the only way.
But you know what? Yes. Let me explain something to you. Who in their right mind would think that Indianapolis, as explosive as they are, at home in the playoffs with a young team like Pittsburgh with a young quarterback, would lose that football game?
Yeah.
I would say that 1,000 times.
No, I think you're right.
I'm not in my right mind, but I thought so.
Terry,
I believe.
Perhaps you've never visited the Pittsburgh area, but Dave Damashek hails from that region, and he's a big fan.
I know that's not, I should be pulling, but I can't. You know, it's just hard sometimes when I guess we overanalyze these things, but my God, who would have thought Ben Roethlisberger would go on a tear for three weeks, and play the kind of football that he played? And I thought it was brilliant that they came out throwing Pittsburgh and not running and scored through the air, and then Ben made the incredible tackle on the turnover at the goal line.
Yeah, that was huge.
I mean, that was just, that's
Terry,
the legends are made up.
Are you pumped about the football season? I mean, you've played in the league yourself, obviously, Super Bowls and everything else. You've been around the game for, I don't know, 35 years now, 40 years. Are you burnt out, or are you just as enthusiastic about this season opening in a week or so as you were 20 years ago?
You know what? I am a big, I love the NFL. I love college football, but I am a big event guy. I like matchups. You know, matter of fact, we're on the road in Jacksonville. I think that's going to be a great game, Jacksonville hosting the Cowboys. That's a good matchup. I like that. But I'm like everyone else. I'm right now running a marathon, and so I'm going to take it slow and easy. And about the 10th week of the season is when my ears start to perk up and I start to get a little feel for what's going on in the league, because you're watching injuries and you're watching what teams are coming on strong. That's when I start really getting excited. Yeah, I'm excited about football, but I really don't get into it until about the 10th week. That's when it starts getting
I'll tell you what's getting me excited, Terry Bradshaw. Wow. Relative Chaos. ABC Family, Monday nights, 8 o'clock.
Nicely done, Corolla.
Yes.
I'll tell you, and I saw him in Failure to Launch.
I loved that movie. You were great in that,
Snubbed
Terry.
By the Academy.
Thank you.
Had not seen...
Snubbed by the Academy. Exactly. What is that all about?
Had not seen you do that kind of work since Cannonball Run. I really... I really hadn't. I know. It's. I got to tell you, they don't like the idea of some big jock coming in and acting circles around them.
He was acting opposite Kathy Bates, who's an Oscar winner.
Made her look like a rank amateur.
And I'm sure that Dave there would likes to know that I worked with the sexiest man alive, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah. How was he? Was he a nice guy?
Wonderful guy.
Good Dave, Christ, I'm gay. Yeah, Terry, Dave, to me, you gay. Are the sexiest man alive.
I mean, how good does it get?
All right.
Cooper, we saw him in The Wedding Crashers, and Zoe. And,
Terry, I will be watching Monday nights on ABC Family as well as on the NFL Fox pregame show for you. I'm a big fan. And when you're out in L.A., please come see us in person.
Well, I tell you what, I'm in L.A. right now.
Oh, well, come on down and bring the water-soluble lube.
The building, I rang. The security guy came down, told him who it was, who I wanted to see. And he said, I'm sorry, but you're not on the list.
Oh, wait, let me look. Oh, I can see him. I can see him through the window right now. He's on his cell phone sitting in the green room. All right, Terry, thanks very much. And please come see us when you're here, if in fact
you're
not
in this
here.
Studio.
That's right. Joe, the reason I'm moving forward is because Joe Buck is now on the phone. I was going to put them on together, but I think we'd have a clusterbuck at that point. Joe?
Very good. Yeah, there. I was thinking about that. It was a train wreck waiting to happen, so thanks for not doing that.
Yeah, plus, he's your new partner now, right?
You know, I didn't hear the beginning of the interview you had with Terry. I got on late, but I'm sure Terry, like me, can't wait to talk more about Terrell Owens and think it was great for the Cowboys.
To be fair, Joe, there really was no beginning and no end, just one long middle.
Just kind of faded away. That was nice. He was talking about Zoe and other people, and then it was goodbye.
He did get a little bit of the bums rush, didn't he?
Well,
but you were on the line.
I saw that the great Joe Buck was on hold, and we were going to put you guys on together, but again, I thought it would get a little confusing, and I wanted to be... Listen, Joe, this is like a date. I don't want my kid sister tagging along, even if my kid sister's 250 pounds and bald. I don't want her tagging along. I want
That's
it to be
okay.
intimate.
We could still make out.
Thank you. Just as long as I can get up your bra. So, Joe, first question, what about my favorite commercials, the Leon commercials for Budweiser? Where are those going?
What about them? They're gone. They're like 2 years old.
Goodbye. I know.
God, Leon has gone the way of the wind. He has floated away into the what's up guy land.
He blew out an ACL and is gone.
He blew out his contract.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He's a prima donna. It is a life imitating art.
Yeah, things changed in Leon's life, and priorities got rearranged, and I think Leon kind of overplayed his hand a little bit.
Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot from the actor known as Leon.
The guy was really funny, and is really funny, and a talented guy, and I'd like to see him pop up somewhere. I liked him a lot, but it just didn't work out contractually. Well, you know how that goes.
A guy, speaking of guys you don't like, Randy Moss, I think we have the famous clip of you calling the game. Where
I can't get enough. Put it on.
Oh, no, we don't have it. Did you dodge a bullet, Joe.
It went something like this. This is disgusting. I'm sorry you had to see this, right?
Here we go.
We have it. Good news, Joe. We have it.
Yeah, shoots the moon to the fans here in Green Bay.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss. And it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting by Randy Moss.
That was Randy Moss, of course, after a touchdown in Green Bay, pretending to pull his pants down and moon the crowd, and perhaps even wipe his bum on the goalpost.
That's the part that got me. Yeah. I didn't like that part.
I got to tell you.
Over the goalpost, and I'm glad I said it. Whatever you're about to say, Adam, I'm glad I said it.
No, look, I'm with you, but if that you found that distasteful, you would hate my touchdown dance.
How does that go?
Well, it's hard to describe, but as I go into the end zone, I take the ball. I hold it behind my back in the small of my back with my right hand and then assume a squatting position as if I'm on the toilet. And with my left hand, try to read the sports page. Then I make a grimacing face and drop the ball as if I gave birth to it and then get back to reading the paper.
I would have no problem.
You wouldn't? All right. Well, Joe, I am I'm pumped, and I hope you are too. Now, you're a baseball guy, or at least that's where you got your start. Do you have a sport that you like better? Do you like football better than baseball?
I'm more of an ice dancing guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you must have been upset about the controversy with the judging in that sport.
Oh, God, those crazy French.
Well, Joe, this must really, though, be, no matter how much you like baseball and football, you're about to move into what's got to be a miserable stretch of the year for you, right? Football and the baseball at the same time?
Come on, this is a great stretch. This is the time when, you know, when I get really full of myself and I just can't get enough of hearing me on primetime television. This is the fun time. I mean, this is, you know, for as bad as the National League is, and it's awful,
mm-hmm.
at least there are a lot of teams in it, and it's fun to kind of keep track of who's where day to day in the National League wild card. And the American League is by far the superior league. And then you got the opening of the NFL season next weekend, and I'm hosting Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm doing the Cowboys-Jaguars game. So I'll be busy, but it's a good busy.
Well, let's talk about some picks before we break away for commercial. Who do you like World Series-wise? We'll talk a little baseball and a little football. And who do you like Super Bowl-wise?
Well, I must be dumb because I still believe that the White Sox are the most talented, well-rounded team in baseball. I think whoever gets to the World Series in the American League will win the World Series. I think the Mets will walk to the World Series in the National League, or should, barring some crazy happening in the NLs. But I just think the AL is way better than the National League. So whoever gets there, I would say, believe it or not, the Yankees will get back there. And we'll end up winning the whole thing.
Probably the best bet is a Subway Series, as a matter of fact. I guess
I think so, and we've done it. We did that in 2000, and it didn't rate well. The rest of the country didn't seem to care much about New York. But
really?
I think this has been Joe Torre's best effort as manager, because they've lost a ton of guys, and they've persevered, and it looks like they've pretty much wrapped up the AL East already.
Well, it'd be nice to see the little guy win one for a change, huh? Underdogs. It makes a great story. It's like Rudy. They're the Rudy of baseball teams. And then what about football? Who do you like? Because I'm confused this year. It was easier a few years ago when you can just pick the Patriots to meet whoever. Maybe the Patriots back this year. I'd hate to see them back, but maybe, or if not them, who?
Well, I mean, outside of the obvious picks, I mean, the first name that pops out is Pittsburgh, and that's boring to pick, but they're probably the best coached, most talented team out there, but that's not what you're looking for from me. And then in the NFC, you've got Seattle should walk in the NFC West, and I think the NFC East is probably the most exciting division in the NFL this year. But I will pick the Dallas Cowboys to win the whole thing this year.
Wow.
All right. I can see that. Maybe if...
That has nothing to do with T.O. I mean, I think when you look at the way they played this preseason, it's Parcells maybe last shot at this thing. I think they've got a ton of talent. If I was going to have to, you know, crawl out there on a limb and pick a team that maybe not many are picking to win the whole thing, I'd say Dallas.
Who's the... My surprise team was going to be the Cardinals this year. I think they go... You know,
they're a popular
game above 500 or something.
Popular dark horse team this year, yeah.
Yeah,
they are. I mean, it's not that much of a surprise, Adam, when everybody is picking them to be the dark
horse. Okay. You know what?
Can I ask Joe Buck a question? Joe, obviously we played your call of Randy Moss, which was the moment you didn't care for, but do you have a most memorable or a favorite game that you called?
How about just putting me down, Joe? Is that in your top 10?
That's in there. For everything that's going on with all the steroid talk and everything going on in baseball and really in sports in general, I think for one singular event, when McGuire beat Roger Maris's record, even knowing what we know now and having all the speculation we have now, I think that was one of the most exciting singular moments that I've ever been a part of. And what
it was exciting.
On does not take away from the way we all felt. And I'm not just talking about me sitting there calling it, but any of us felt watching that thing on a Tuesday night in 1998. It was a great moment. He saluted the Maris kids who were there. Granted,
right.
There's a whole other side of that thing. But I think for one sports moment, that'd probably be still the top.
Well, with his arch rival Sammy Sosa there.
Yeah, it was an exciting year in baseball. I must say, I knew he was on the juice when he hoisted his 230-pound 9-year-old over his head at home plate. That's why I said, this kid's on the juice. Forget about the 62 dingers. Who's going to be able to hoist that ball of cheese above his head? He's got to be on something.
That kid is skinny and a great high school golfer. Last time he lost his body fat.
All right. Well, he may have just have. He's probably going to be 6'5" and on his way to the studio to smash me right now.
The kid was on the juice, the Jamba Juice.
That's right.
The fattening kind.
He was on the juice that comes in a box. All right, Joe Buck. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be following you closely this season. I can't help it. I'm so pumped for football. I can hardly stand myself.
And good luck to his Cardinals. What an exciting time of the year for all of us who love sports.
Yes.
Baseball, playoffs, football.
Yes.
La, la.
All right. So Joe is doing the Fox NFL Sunday, of course, and then Cardinal baseball, and more than just Cardinal baseball.
Yeah, he does the playoffs for Fox.
Right. All right, we need to take a break. Def Rat Guy on his way in. I'll explain after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Uncle Dave reads a nursery rhyme for Adam's twins.
Georgie Porgie, pudding and pie, kissed the girls and made them cry. When the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgie ran away. You want something to cry about, I'll give you something to cry about. This isn't my first time around the block.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Let's talk Beer Fest. Thank you. Jay Chandrasekhar, he's the director of Beer Fest, also stars in the movie, also directed Dukes of Hazzard, which I saw, and I not only saw that, I saw the making of Dukes of Hazzard, where you guys were launching these cars with a catapult. It's very intriguing
to me.
Yeah, also Super Troopers. Super Troopers, one of those movies that cost how much to make?
We made it for $1 million.
$1 million and made how much?
Well, it's made about $100 million, but Fox is still claiming not to have made any money on it.
Right. So you just basically got your $633 for doing it.
Basking in the glory of, you know, friendly praise.
Yeah, you're part member of Broken Lizards, which is, I guess, a troupe, an improv troupe, comedy troupe?
We were a comedy sketch group. We met at Colgate University in upstate New York and then moved to New York City and started performing there. And then we made an independent film called Puddle Cruiser. Mm-hmm. And then we made Super Troopers.
I've always been intrigued by it. I've always thought that's the way to go, make a low-budget movie. It cost $1 million, Super Troopers, and now it's made over $100 million. But even when it was just in theaters, It made ten times over, right?
18, 19 in the theaters. I heard you're in a movie, aren't you?
Yes.
You wrote one?
Yes.
Well, I hung out with Jimmy Kimmel a couple nights ago.
That man's dead to me. I don't know who you're talking about. Let's just move on.
You mentioned your movie, though.
Wow. Well, we will talk off the air. Perhaps I will heap some praise on you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what about you're in Jackass 2?
I do a small gag in Jackass 2. Nothing violent happens to me, but...
Nudity?
No nudity in this, but there is some pubic hair involved.
Well, if it's smoking a bong load of pubic hair, I am suing somebody's ass, because I came up with that in the Man Show many, many years ago.
No, it's not that. I became friends with Knoxville on Dukes of Hazzard, and...
Oh, right.
I'm part of an elaborate con to work over one of his buddies.
It says here that you and he drank a little moonshine on the Dukes of Hazzard.
We did. There was a lot of moonshine down there. I mean, it would just show up in your trailer, and there would be a little note like "Have fun, be careful." I mean, that's what everyone says about moonshine.
Love Jessica.
You do?
No.
Oh,
the note was Jessica. Signed "Love Jessica."
I see. Yeah, right.
God, she can't talk.
But you know. There's just everyone says be careful about moonshine, and you know it's like sort of some of it is pretty bad, and some of it's not really.
Can I ask this, because I have now been seeing the billboards for Jackass 2, and I thought Knoxville had sort of outgrown his Jackass cronies. Is this old footage that's been put together, or is he really doing the second Jackass?
It's all brand new, and I've seen about an hour of it, and it's outrageous and it's hilarious.
Well, we have, speaking of hilarious, Beer Fest, I think we have a clip from Beer Fest. Let's hear that.
All obsessed with the taste of flesh. Here are the thrill seekers, corrupt and immoral.
Well, I would still play it. I'd see a smoke.
Sounds like Bobby, it has a moral.
Whose strange love and desire for Hannah led her to commit murder.
Wow.
This is it.
Dave Damashek makes a cameo. Diamond earrings.
A wanton. Tantalizing and exciting.
They had
she belonged to all men, but to no man.
That's
you
the
must
Damon!
See this film so that you too can have a sensation you will never forget.
They had a different
taste of flesh.
There we go. There's a little different metronome back then. You know, you would see a double feature. Each movie would be 9 hours long. You just sit right through it. Kids could not put up with that pace anymore.
Well, we're trying to bring it back. we have a much dirtier version of that scene on the DVD, so.
We do have an actual beer. We do have an actual Beer Fest clip, yes?
Beer Fest.
We've been training for a super secret international beer drinking competition, and we're taking on the Germans for national prize.
Yeah, why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Ooh-yah! Ooh-yah!
If we're gonna drink like the Germans, we're gonna need a little help.
I hope you're sitting down, Jay. Siskel and Roper.
Yeah, but who's on
Ebert
that show?
Roper. Whoever's sitting in for Ebert or whoever. Two thumbs down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bad news.
Really?
There's a woman named Tony who's sitting in.
Oh, Tony Senecal. She's a news reporter in New York.
So now it's Tony and Roper.
Yeah.
What? And I'm supposed to take criticism from Tony and Roper?
No, and here's the thing. Nice for you, because a good chance if Roger Ebert was in there, his thumb would have been facing terra firma as well. But now, no validity. Who's Tony? Some Italian kid?
Tony and Roper review his picture. How about Carolla and Jay review Roper now? Give him a taste of his medicine.
I read that Tony asked Roper as though he has any authority. He said, can I give this two thumbs down?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
So we got three thumbs down, I believe.
Well, you're talking to a guy who's gotten minus stars in the star rating system
many times.
I got negative stars for The Man Show. I've got negative stars for a show I did a voiceover on. I got negative 3 stars and negative 4 stars. I would argue you can't do negative stars.
It seems punitive.
Now, if I do a 4-star show... I'm still negative three stars because I've -7 stars.
Well, to be fair, some people have given Beer Fest good reviews, and in fact, the New York Daily News said that, Jay, you were the funniest guy in it.
That's my brother who writes for that.
So? Fan's a fan.
He can be objective.
Jay, we were nominated for 6 Razzies for the Dukes of Hazzard. We won none, though. I was a little
I must say, the Dukes of Hazzard is one of these movies that's a very easy target because it was a crappy TV show, and it's one of these, here's everything that's wrong with Hollywood, they're remaking crappy TV shows. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to call it a great movie, but the car stunts were great. The acting was solid. It was fun.
No, we had a great time.
And you
movie.
Launched those cars.
We did. It was all real stunts, and we shot.
It wasn't
that
like
thing
CGI.
In
the air. They just took old Dodges and fired them 70 feet in the air out of a cannon.
We landed generally in moving traffic at 60 miles an hour, and I got in one of the cars, and we were driving on the highway at 60, and if you hit the button at launch, it was supposed to land in the right spot, but you know, something was wrong with the machine that day, and it landed way too far up front, and so we missed the shot, and then so we had to do it again.
Yeah, and I saw it. Like I said, I saw the director's cut DVD of the Dukes of Hazzard. If you want to know intellectually where I'm coming from.
There's nothing quite like watching a car like that.
It's become a common refrain to say that with Jessica Simpson's cagey. She really knows what she's doing. She's playing the dumb girl. Your opinions.
You know, I know it's not popular, but the girl is smart.
Hmm.
I mean, she really is. And I asked her, I said, what's with the routine? Because you hang out with her, and she's a perfectly intelligent person. She's a mogul, too. I mean, look at her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, every time I say something dumb, I mean, she's like, admittedly, what I do is I try not to have a filter on that show. Mm-hmm. So any dumb thing that comes to my mind, I just say it. And the more I say it, the more they love me.
I feel fine. I just got no voice, so it makes me sad.
That was her yesterday. She's got laryngitis.
She's a great, great chick. I swear to God.
All right.
Yeah. Did you have
I've heard enough of this.
Over her Daisy Dukes?
What?
Did you have to, you know, because there was a lot of talk about the shorts and how short they'd be.
Well, we had a long, long, session where she tried on different pairs of shorts, and I kept saying shorter and shorter and shorter.
Jay Chandrasekhar is in studio. He was the director of Dukes of Hazzard, and now stars, co-wrote Beer Fest. And I've just imagine if you took five random guys off the street, included Jay in the mix, and said one of these guys directed Dukes of Hazzard. Now you guys can't see Jay, but you would nobody. Guy Johnny Knoxville would not say he directed. I would have no idea. It would be the craziest thing ever. I would punch whoever told me he did in the stomach and call him a liar. He's young, and what's your nationality?
Indian. You know, it's a great country. You know that they let an Indian kid from Chicago direct the Dukes, the Hillbilly Classic.
Really? You must have mixed right in Arkansas or wherever the hell they filmed.
Louisiana. They're very respectful down there.
But a local boy makes good, I guess. What's the headlines on the paper?
How often do people call you M. Night Shyamalan?
Oh, it does happen. It happened at the Sky Bar. A couple of incredibly hot chicks came up to me and said, "We loved Sixth Sense." And I said, "Thank you."
They're like, "M. Night, yes."
M. Night has had a three-way.
Oh, nice.
He doesn't even know about it.
The next morning, joke's on you, ladies. Good day.
Jay, is Jay short for something?
My full name is Jayanth Jambalingam Chandrasekhar, which translates to Victorious Large Penis Rising Moon.
Wow.
The middle name is a family name.
Nice.
My dad, my grandfather, his grandfather, they all have the name.
And both your parents are doctors.
They are. They mm-hmm. are.
And making $11,000 a year. We need to take a break. Deaf Rat Guy, that is the up-and-coming star sitting to your right, Jay, has a movie pitch he'd like to give to you. We won't do it just yet, but say hi.
Hell yeah, Deaf the Foo.
He's a fraternity member of Delta Phi. It's a frat he started himself after he was thrown out of his teak house on the USC campus, but came up with what we think is a brilliant movie idea. Yes?
I just wanted to say that you said that Jay wrote and started the movie BFF, but he also directed it.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry, and I know beer is near and dear to your heart. We have a beer-fueled movie idea that we'd like to pitch to you after the break. We hang out with us, Jay?
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
All right, Deaf Rat Guy, you stay with us and get ready to make the pitch, and we'll be right back with our movie after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Maverick.
Can't hear much, but he can still drink beer and party every day. Well, he likes chicks, sorority girls are always ready to play. Well, Moose gets Woody at the drop of a hat, but he says that he ain't bi. Just a fifth-year senior living it up, hearing loss ain't a crime. He's a deaf rat guy.
Maverick.
Deaf rat guy.
Chick.
Deaf rat guy.
Maverick.
Deaf rat guy.
Yes, he is. He's in studio. Also, the star, co-writer, and director of Beer Fest, and director of Dukes of Hazzard, Jay Chandrasekhar, in studio as well. So we have a pro who can listen to your pitch, Deaf Rat Guy.
I have to say that maybe today I'm a little more low energy because I went to see Beer Fest last night and it got me really pumped up. And after the movie, I got pretty wasted.
Did you funnel some beers after?
No, I didn't bust out the funnel.
You just drank them.
I had to be here early today.
I see. What a pro. So you just shotgunned them.
Yeah, like they did in the film.
Colby?
Yes,
sir.
You saw Beer Fest?
I saw Beer Fest last night, and let me tell you, man, it is the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Thanks, Colby.
No problem, man.
Colby?
Yes, sir.
Your movie critic?
Professionally.
What do you do for a living?
I install windows up here in Sacramento, man.
That's right. That's the sea salt of the earth. That's who this, not these hoity-toity movie critics.
And that's a job you can do drunk as well, so that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. The whole theater was cracking the whole time.
Well, good, Colby. Thanks.
Hey, big fan, man. Have a good day.
Good luck with those windows. Hey, and Colby.
Yes, sir.
You remember you got to lay that SK flashing out right. Otherwise, you're going to have water penetration issues, right?
Can't be having that, man.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
All right. Stop.
Entertainment Tonight, by the way. Entertainment Weekly, I should say, also raves about Beer Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a movie they're going to be raving about. A little something called Buzz that Maverick came up with. Again, the genesis, the inspiration is when we had Jason Statham in here from Crank. Ideas, he had to keep the adrenaline level up to a certain point, otherwise he would die because he was injected with something. Why don't you give your pitch, Mav?
Well, the good news is we've already attached Jason to the project.
Mm. Okay, great.
We got a verbal agreement with him to play me.
Well, he just kind of said okay while he was leaving,
well, he signed
though,
his
right?
bid to the Delta Foos while he was
he's
here.
He signed a bid. He is now right. the... In fact, if you check out the website, he's now the vice president of Delta Foo.
Wow.
DeathRatGuy.com.
Mm-hmm. All right, so give us the pitch for the movie, or give it to Jay.
Jay, here's the story. The story is of a person who goes on spring break, and if his buzz level drops below 4 beer buzz, he would die.
Just to keep his blood alcohol level above a 4 beer buzz, otherwise he dies, just like in Crank.
That in itself would seem simple
enough. That's enough movie for me, yeah.
It would seem simple enough, but there are obstacles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Blake Chambers is the villain.
Blake Chambers, the Fiji Rush chairman?
The Blake Chambers thinks he's all that.
Right, I understand.
The Bitcoin thing's rich.
Right.
And gets checked doesn't mean F Blake Chambers.
Well, this is getting a little cathartic now. I think we should stick with the pitch.
And the other people, Blake Chambers has in his employ the gypsies that ripped me and Smitty and moved off during spring break. They stole everything. Our keys, cell phones, wallet.
They were in Havasu last spring break, and they met some girls that they thought were Hungarian foreign exchange students. It turns out they were gypsies, and they took them for all they're worth. They still haven't caught up with them, but they're in your sights.
So do they work for Blake Chambers, or they're just sort of random villains?
That's something we have to talk to when we get into the script phase of
Legion
the
show.
But it takes place out on, this was my idea, but it's exciting. A low-speed houseboat chase out on Havasu. Not the crazy high-speed stuff you see, but still as intriguing. Two houseboats moving along at 4 to 6 knots, but still bumper to bumper. Yes?
Hell yeah.
Okay, so do we have a clip? Do we have a little trailer?
We got together, and Poochie's uncle has some editing equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So we got together and just banged it out over a few beers.
I understand. And this isn't the movie, you understand, Jay, but this is a little Hickory's Farm sampler of what the movie could be.
They call it a teaser.
Okay. Oh.
And it's designed to get people who want to helm the film. It's designed to helm.
I understand. If we could get Jay attached to this, I certainly think it would help the sell.
Because Jason Statham is already verbally attached to
it. We understand. We understand. Well, let's just hear it.
2008, Lake Havasu. In a world where the party never ends. His trouble is just starting.
My name is Maverick. And this spring break could be my last.
A fraternity president is poisoned.
I've been poisoned.
And has to maintain a 4-beer buzz.
My buzz level is getting dangerously low.
Or he's dead drunk. Jason Statham is Maverick, the deaf frat guy.
I'm coming for you, Blake Chambers. And my potato gun's coming with me.
Special appearances by Poochie, Moose, and Mike Gaff.
Maverick, if you stop drinking, you die.
Pussycat Dolls as the Gypsies.
I'm handing with these motherfuckers. dipped in on this motherfucking houseboat.
Buzz. If he's not wasted, his life is... This film is not yet rated.
Wow. I'm blown away. Okay.
My whistle is wet.
Yeah. Your pump is officially primed.
I mean, I didn't think we could do another drinking movie, but wow, maybe.
Well, that was before about 3 minutes ago, right?
No idea.
The keg had been tapped.
Well, I like that. The keg gets tapped fall 08.
Yeah.
This is good solid tagline. Stuff. And this is no comedy. I know Beer Fest is an all-out comedy. This is a thrill ride.
No,
it is beer-fueled, but it is a thrill ride.
Based on actual events in the Def Rat guy's life.
Mm-hmm. It's like speed on a slow...
Yeah, on a slow houseboat.
With beer,
yeah.
With beer.
There's also a scene that we couldn't do on the air, but it is a scene like Tommy Lee and Pamela on the houseboat.
Really?
Oh.
But it's not with one, it's with two chicks. Both Ashleys.
Both Ashleys?
Both of them, their heads are buried in my crotch.
Wow, and do you have anyone in mind to play the Ashleys?
Jessica Simpson is one.
And Jay knows her.
I know her. I can deliver that.
Get her on the blower, Jay.
And Paris Hilton is kind of a skank, but I always thought she was pretty hot, and I would maybe...
You consider her.
I wouldn't like to nail her, but I would like to
let her
have her head buried in my crotch.
I think I understand.
But the real love interest is Misha Barton.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, from the OC.
So Paris and Ashley. No, I mean, Jessica will be playing the two Ashleys.
And I want to get Ashley Simpson and Nikki Hilton to play, like, the lower level, the gypsy.
Well, it's one phone call for Jay.
Let's green light this thing.
Okay, you got a green light.
Well, there it is.
So we have verbals. And Poochie's uncle said he'll put up some money. Like, he wants to be a producer.
He's going to finance the project.
As long as Stratham is involved, I'm in.
All right, so you got Jay Chandrasekhar from Beer Fest, the guy directed Dukes of Hazzard attached to the project. You have Jason.
And there's talk about Val Kilmer playing Blake Jammer.
Wow. I originally had James Spader in that role, but if Kilmer wants it, it's his. Nice. And now, is it... Don't take any offense to this. I'm trying to be delicate. But are we going to teach the guy who's playing Maverick, Jason, are we going to teach him your accent or...
It's really hard for me to say because I can't tell the actor how he wants to choose to play me. That's not my thing. But I will tell you this. For Poochie, we are thinking about getting Derek Jeter to come and maybe like walk on his knees.
Well, he looks like Derek Jeter.
Poochie's
anyway.
exact doppelganger for Jeter, but he's about a foot shorter.
The same chain, the same look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he had that look where you're not sure if everything's computing.
Right.
Same way with women.
That's why he draws the chicks, though, right?
Holds in tons of chicks. He's confident.
Mm-hmm. But just he's only goes about 5'2", 5'3". All right, Jay, I can tell you're wanting to rush home and hop on the blower and get this thing moving.
I'll be getting on the phone in the car on the way home. Absolutely.
Beer Fest, name of the movie, out as we speak. And you can also look for Jay and Jackass 2 coming to theater September 22nd. Also directing a Willie Nelson documentary again. If you lined up five guys, and Jay was one of them, and he said, who's directing the Willie Nelson documentary? I'm not sure if he would be at the top of the list.
My family's actually from South India, so we're hillbillies back there.
Interesting.
So you relate to Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We will take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
I have a great relationship with my stepfather.
Oh, I love it when you talk dirty. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes. Patton Oswalt's going to be calling in a couple of few also. News and sports coming up, but just a...
Diamond earrings!
Just a moment.
The only thing more annoying than my voice is my laugh.
Yeah, Dave Damashek not in studio, so
I'm gay.
We'll virtual do virtual Dave. Until he gets back in here.
Hitler was right, and I love little boys.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Penguins speaks again.
Oh, he's running.
He's running.
Look, Buster, do yourself a favor and walk away.
One more.
You walked away from the ironing board this morning, I think.
Yes.
The looks of that shirt.
Yeah.
Shut up and
salvage from the hamper. All right. Well, speaking of apparel, I wanted to talk shoes, and I'll tell you why.
You know, girls hate that.
You've heard my thoughts on them before. First off, that the dress shoes, the shoelace on the dress shoe is round. It's plasticky, and they give you about 3/16 of an inch to work with, whereas the lace on the basketball high top gives you an extra 30 or 40 feet of anchor rope to tie with. You must double it around your ankles 3 or 4 times and then do the double knot. And if you cut it off, it's no good, because if you cut it off, you can't re-thread it. And when you take them off, sometimes you have to pull them out of the eyelets. I just wonder how this works, who's in charge, and who decides that when you're done cinching up your high top Converse that you need an extra 48 inches on both sides. Who needs this? It's one more way to break your neck. And conversely, with the dress shoe, just looks like little antennas coming out of a grasshopper's about all I have left. Not even enough to dangle down like the guy you see with the small penis at the Y. So small, it doesn't even hang. It just sticks straight out.
I'm sorry, Adam. I don't look at other men's penises.
Well, I do, and let me inform you, David.
Well, I would hope that you don't get frustrated by the short laces and turn to loafers.
Well, I'll tell you, I have my thoughts on loafers, the Italian ones that are not broken in, that have the super slick, hard leather bottom that you will fall all over the goddamn place. And by the way, you only wear these when you're going out to get drunk, so there's always trouble. You put on the loafers because you're going to a wedding. Right. It's an open bar. You get S-faced. It's out. It's late. There's a little drizzle. And as you're heading to the valet, it's a over tea kettle as you go rolling into the valet. I mean, it is hard to walk sober with both hands out in front of you to steady you in some of these new loafers. I'm amazed that there isn't lawsuits. Either scuff them up or put some rubber on the bottom of them, or do the ultimate, which I'm going to have Kyle do, our phone screener. I will have a guy break in my shoes. You want to talk about an ultimate power move, and here's the topper to that power move. I have a very nice watch. The problem is it's one of those self-winders. It's not a battery-operated watch, but it's very nice, but you only put it on a couple times a year when you're going out somewhere, so it always runs out, and it's never the right time. How about I get a guy to wind my watch by moving in it, and break in the shoes, and it's not the same guy. It could easily be the same guy. I have two different guys doing it. Just walking in place, and the other guy's just trotting, winding my watch.
There's a very good chance, I don't know if this is good or bad, but Kyle is very likely to turn one of your shoes into a bong. Maybe a good thing. But
And the watch also.
Now, here's my latest shoe pet peeve is the insert that comes popping out of the running shoe. If you exercise in your running shoes and you kick them off after you hit the treadmill or skip your rope or jog your mile or whatever you do, the insert of the shoe will come popping out with it, or at least taco. This is the song I play in my head every night as I skip rope in my 80s attire. Wearing my gaiters.
Puffy socks, shorts that are far too short, a hot pink or a lime green tank top that's tucked into the shorts.
And over that is draped the sweatshirt with the collar cut out. Yeah. Headband and exercising, working hard in a montage-like sequence. Every night when I skip rope, then I walk into the bedroom and I'm tired, there's no way for me to take the shoe off without the little insert popping out. And then I realize this happens with all my tennis shoes and all running shoes. Why not just glue or Velcro the goddamn thing into the bottom of the shoe? Because then what happens is you have to reset it the next time you wear the shoes. The next night I go into my 80s rope skipping montage. I have to get down and put my hand in my filthy shoe before this begins again. And everybody who I brought this up to, universally agrees. Why is this way? Why not just glue it in? Mm-hmm. T, you got a face on like this has never happened
confused.
To you.
Yeah, because I just wear the regular old Nikes, and it doesn't seem to pop out.
It's maybe a newer thing, but all the running shoes have the insert.
Because if it's a little off, it seems like it would dig into your arch. And especially the jumping rope over and over on the same spot, that would seem bad.
Yeah, you have to get in and place it. You have to resettle it because it pops out, like I said, when you pop the shoe off. And even though I pop the right one off and I see that the insert has popped out, I still do the same with the left. I don't get down and loosen it up to the point where I can get it out.
Well, I'm surprised that you haven't taken care of this because, Adam, I noticed... For example, the microwave here was not working for many weeks, and I didn't know why. Turns out the outlet near it just wasn't working, and I noticed you one day just pick up the microwave and move the entire thing over to the outlet that works without... You didn't go, this thing's broken, you just fixed it. So yeah. I'm surprised you haven't hot glued the things into your shoes.
Well, I am going to... I probably wouldn't use the hot glue because it wouldn't have enough flex, but I will use pure silicone.
Ah.
Silicone has a lot of grab, but yet... maintains its flexibility and would work nicely. So I'm going to silicone that in just like I'm starting to turn to my grandfather. But yesterday, I've been burned by my clock alarm a few times because the volume has been down on it unbeknownst to me when it goes off in the morning. No radio because the volume's all the way down. And you can't tell by looking at it because it's a black knob on a black thing. Yesterday, I turned it to the level that I wanted it to, and I told my wife to take some nail polish and draw a stripe through the volume knob and to the side of the radio. And those red lines must line up every night. Otherwise, we know the volume
and
is not
the clear
up.
Polish. That doesn't help.
That was her first attempt, yes. And after a light beating, mostly verbally, come on, get off my back. She then got out the candy apple red and made a lovely stripe for her man. But I would like that addressed. I'm going to glue mine in, but I find myself doing these things and then getting angry that it doesn't come from the factory this way. And the last shoe beef I have is the laces now I notice after wearing my new Balance. I got, you know, there's this new like sort of hybrid shoe where it's like not... a hiking boot, but it's not a running shoe. It's kind of a running shoe, but it has that sort of all-terrain sole, little waffle stomper on the sole. Those laces, I guess these things are meant to go trekking through streams or something. The laces now have been infused with so much plastic that they don't hold their shape. You tie them, you cinch them down, then you get up off the foot of the bed and you start walking across the room and they've popped open again because it's like taking two breakfast links and trying to tie a bow in them. They don't want to go. They're too round. They're too hard. They're too plasticky.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you getting in a lot of workouts?
I don't know what that's supposed to mean or suggest. I will say this. My gripe with the today's sneakers, and of course, you know, my love of shoes combined with my love and fixation with uniforms, maybe says gay. But in spite of that.
Says. Screams.
My
thank you.
My thing is this. With today's basketball shoes.
Mm-hmm.
What gives with those? They've gone too far. Like many things in life, they perfected them in around 1989.
Around the Air Jordan.
With the Larry Bird weapons, yes, or perhaps the Michael Jordan, the Air Jordans. Then they went too far, and now today's sneakers look kind of like a melted thermos, you know, like a plastic thermos. It's like, I said this before, I like wheat bread. Then they came out with 7-grain bread. I loved it. I eat it all the time.
Right.
Then they flew too close to the sun like Icarus with the 12-grain bread.
Yeah.
5 razors. We don't need 5 in a razor, 5 blades in a razor.
Yeah,
3
right.
was enough.
The 12-grain bread, I actually start passing before I'm eating off the first piece of toast.
The first 4 grains are out.
First 4 grains have exited. They've left it. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building. I hear over the PA. Yes, I agree. I don't like wearing shoes that are like basketball shoes that are patent leather and turquoise.
Right.
And I do, as much as I complain about the laces, do miss them when it comes to the shoes. I don't like the weird straps. I don't want to be playing basketball in ski boots.
That's what they look like.
Yes,
ski boots is a good comparison.
You're now officially a trooper from the Dark Star or whatever. Dude, give me one of your Star Wars. You really look like one of those troopers.
I'm not your nerdy monkey who dances for you with a lightsaber.
Oh, really?
Dance
because
for
if
Daddy.
You're not that, you're nothing, Dave. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. We will, let's see.
I guess you're dancing Patton. Chewbacca. Dancing Wookiee would be more.
Yeah.
Patton's going to, we're trying to get a hold of him. Patton's going to call in, but he may not be in the next break.
Well, so. Maybe we'll do a little news and sports and bump that up a notch. Since, okay.
If we're doing that, then I have to call for NFL player or Star Wars character game we're going to be playing.
Oh, you don't know anything about Star Wars.
I know about it. I'm just saying but you don't wag callers. Your finger at me and say, do it, Wookiee.
That wasn't my finger, Dave.
Oh.
So, I thought it was my pinky. It wasn't. So, NFL player or tech stock, call in 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that during the sports.
We have some prizes to give away as well. And prizes, yes.
That's what you will receive if you get it right. Also, T, the news.
Yes. Well, Donald Trump is famous for firing people. You will not believe who he has fired this time. Very, very shocking. And also, Jessica Simpson, does she have laryngitis? I'll play you a tape and you tell me.
We'll get to that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show thanks Hooters for sending Big Tad to the Best in the West rib-eating contest in Reno, Nevada. Big Tad went head-to-head with some of the best competitive eaters in the country.
His footsteps will cause an earthquake. His favorite words are all-you-can-eat buffet.
Thanks to Hooters, delightfully tacky yet unrefined.
And he'll eat on, eat on.
Location near you, visit Hooters.com. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Big Tad's supposed to be back in studio today, but as we discussed yesterday, I think Reno Airport does not have a long enough landing strip for the Hercules C-130 that he's transported in. He has to be rolled in via the back. The whole back of the airplane opens up, and he's brought in on a tractor rig. So, they're trying now. We're scrambling. Angie's on the phone. She's going to get one of those fire tanker planes to come in there and see if we can't scoop Big Tad up. Either way, he'll be in tomorrow to regale us with his stories of eating ribs in Reno. Do we have to fly him all the way to Reno to eat ribs? Doesn't he just do that here? Every time I look through the window, he's eating ribs. Did he have to do that in a different state? All right, T. So he'll catch us up on that. Also, I think Kobayashi, the champion hot dog eater, maybe part of that round table.
I'm sure he'll have things to say about Tad's technique.
Yeah, he'll probably have some choice words. I think in the competitive eating circles, the rib eaters are frowned upon.
Oh, really?
They're how prison has its own ranking system?
Yes.
They're the pedophiles of the competitive eating scene. So, T.
Yes.
You got the news for
I
us?
Do. Well, we got a couple of hurricanes. There's Hurricane John, which pummeled the coast of Mexico and could be heading towards Baja California. Meanwhile, there's a hurricane watch. It was issued today for the Carolina coast. That's Storm Ernesto gaining strength over the Atlantic. Mm. It could be going as fast as 77 miles per hour. Winds.
Do you think Mexico would know it if a hurricane hit it?
I think it
would. Isn't Mexico just sort of drunk and disorganized anyway? Like, you know, if you have a roommate, you ever have that slob roommate whose room is just a mess all the time?
Right.
And if you walked in to go wake him up, you wouldn't know if somebody had robbed the room and turned it over and been looking for something because the futon always had a bunch of, dirty clothes on it and the place was always a mess. I kind of feel that way with Mexico and the hurricanes.
Well, we'll see. If it does hit, we'll see if anyone notices. In entertainment news, Donald Trump has fired Carolyn Koepcher. This according to the New York Post. Koepcher ran the Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey, as well as being his on-air sidekick on the show The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Smoking sucks. The air right out of your lungs.
Carolyn, you suck. It's your job. So you're fired.
I think that's how it went down, in fact.
Yeah. What a dynamic presence. What are we listening to? This is Trump?
Oh, this
is really. It's our extended dance mix of Trump. You know, she was hot in a button-down kind of to wipe the smile off your face, baby kind of look. Yeah, I'll tell you.
So.
Yeah, she was nice. You could have fun with her in the
sand. I thought she was very good on the show, and I'm going to miss her if this story is in fact true, but it is on the cover of the Post. Rockstar Supernova was last night.
I tell you who I don't miss, the bald crypt keeper to her right. The old
George.
Guy, George.
George is still there. I like George. I think he's still alive.
He's going to do season 6 on one of those larks. He's just going to be dry. I don't mean on a whim. I mean in a motorized wheelchair. And he always shows up and he's like, what's going on? And what's with the kids and the music? And it's too loud. I don't need that old dust fart anymore. But I do like her. She's hot.
Well, unfortunately, she's gone and he looks like he will be remaining. Last night on Rockstar Supernova, it was elimination night. In the bottom three were Delana, Ryan Starr, and Storm. And, you know, they have to sing one last song to see if they can stay in the game. Mm-hmm. And Ryan sang a song I think you're a fan of.
Yeah. Finally, some Kenny Loggins in the mix.
Okay. He actually sang. Still don't know why the song is called that.
I don't know. I would just call it Teenage Wasteland.
So would I.
Yeah.
Well, he was eliminated. And then, here's the thing. When you're on a reality show.
Hold on, I got my own song.
Uh-oh.
Come on, Brian.
Brian.
Come on, buddy. What do you think? What do you think, my song? Huh? I won the judges over yet? Mullet wig. Six string.
They always say it's all about song selection.
I gather some 9-year-old girls just to surround me, and I sing, I serenade them on stage.
In love with you.
You're so alive. So alive.
Think about.
He thinks about all the seasons of the year. A lot of thinking about stuff in the 70s.
Think about you and me.
No, no one's thinking anymore when they're singing. They're just doing it.
They just love it.
All right.
Okay.
Russ was tired of that song.
Ryan Starr, after he was eliminated by Tommy.
Yeah, go ahead. You can talk and I can sing at the same time.
Okay, I'll try. Who am I to say no? So, anyway, put it back on or we're all going to pay. All right? I don't need that.
I want to fall off a building right now.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
So,
Dave, I hope you can do your sports with this song, too.
Ryan was eliminated and then... Mm-hmm. As many people do when they've just been eliminated from reality shows, they tell you how you're going to see them.
Oh, yeah. No, this is not the last you'll see of Ryan Starr.
I thought of you when I heard this.
Any parting words for Supernova?
Surely, yeah. You know, with me as your singer, I feel like you could have made 20 years of great music. So I'm sorry for that. But I respect, you know, your decision. Good luck. And I'm going to return to being a solo artist, and I'll see you on the record charts, because that's where I'll be hanging out.
Physically standing on the Billboard magazine. Yeah, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. People do that all the time. Priests say that when you die, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Enough of that. Wait, whether you're getting fired by your boss or dumped by your girlfriend, save them the speech where you're explaining to them what a horrible move this is and how they're going to pay and how they're going to... I think they made their decision and they're just glad to see you get the F out of Denver.
Now, Jessica Simpson is claiming that she lost her voice and thus she cannot promote her new album, A Public Affair. A lot of times performers say this and nobody really believes them. Maybe they just don't want to do publicity. But this is an actual clip of Jessica Simpson being interviewed yesterday. And you tell me.
I feel fine. I just got no voice, so it makes me sad.
Yeah. John Mayer did some damage to her soft palate.
Yeah,
of course. If you
really?
Just hooked up with Jessica Simpson.
Wait a second. Her throat was a wonderland.
She wouldn't be able to breathe when I was done with her.
Oh, that's it?
Okay. That's it.
Okay. One more story.
Mm.
This is big news, and you'll only hear it here.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Chandrasekhar, who is in Beer Fest and who directed Dukes of Hazzard, has verbally agreed to direct a little movie, and Jason Statham from, I think, Crank is the name of it, has verbally agreed to star. It's a movie called Buzz with our own Maverick, the deaf frat guy. Here's a trailer.
2008, Lake Havasu. In a world where the party never ends.
His trouble is just starting.
My name is Maverick, and this spring break could be my last.
A fraternity president is poisoned.
I've been poisoned.
And has to maintain a four-beer buzz.
My buzz level is getting dangerously low.
Or he's dead drunk. Jason Statham is Maverick, the deaf frat guy.
I'm coming for you, Blake Chambers. And my potato gun's coming with me.
With special appearances by Preachy Moose and Mike App.
Maverick, if you stop drinking, you die.
And the Pussycat Dolls as the Gypsies.
I've had it with these motherfucking gypsies on this motherfucking houseboat.
Buzz. If he's not wasted, his life is... This film is not yet rated.
Wow. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Ace, we made it. It's football season. Oh. Officially, college football begins tonight. A week away, the Miami Dolphins pay a visit to the Pittsburgh World Champions.
Oh, they're... Yeah, but you know what the final insult? Not that there's 40 more games to play in the never-ending baseball season, but now we can watch them play the first quarter of the football season on the infield, on the dirt.
That looks cool.
We get to see our favorite players trip on the pitching rubber as they try to break into
that.
The open field.
When it rains and it makes it all muddy,
great.
That's awesome.
Your team is 35 games away from being 500, and yet we don't cover up your stupid baseball diamond. We have to play our beloved football in your crappy diamond.
Why do I picture you watching the football game with the volume down and the song Falling up?
Yes. Now you've it's like you've been to the Corolla house during the football
season.
It's just
season. What I picture.
No, that's not how it goes. The volume is down, but there's no song because Corolla, well, he's singing. Singing the complaints about dirt on the infield and why can't punters make the coffin corner more often
what
than they do?
To the coffin
why can't
corner?
They do that? Anyway, now listen. Tonight, Valley of the Sun, Arizona State Sun Devils, ranked Pac-10 contender, perhaps they host Northern Arizona. A lot of other college football games too. Also, though, much to Ace's chagrin, the national pastime continues. We're now under 30 games, you'll be pleased to know, Ace. The Dodgers are rolling. They've won five straight. They're three up on San Diego in the NL West. The Halos fading fast. The A's up in that division, the AL West, by 7.5. It's, I think, you know what? Let's just jump right to, in honor of football season and specifically the first of two fantasy football drafts in which I'll be participating.
Let's, I'm getting hotter by the second, Dave.
Keep I don't.
Talking.
You know what? To me, I you know, you're too cool for school. But it's
fairy tale football, not fantasy. It's more demeaning.
All right, creep. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna
their
play.
Their mascot is a unicorn.
Wow. Actually, my mascot happens to be a cool cat. One of my favorite things in these fantasy things is I talk about too cool for school. All the writers, all the funny men, Cool Cats is the stupidest name you can possibly have. They think they're so clever with their little
puns. It's the name of his team. Oh, yeah.
No. It's the name of the Cool Cats. No.
For years now.
Second grade, I was in day camp, and they said we have to name our group or whatever they call it, tribe. And I lived in Pittsburgh with the Pitt Panthers, and Pink Panther was popular at the time. Mm-hmm. So cat was a good theme.
Do you spell it K-A-T-Z, the Jewish
you
spelling?
You got it, baby. That's the twist on it. It's Cool Cats, but with K's.
Yeah.
And, everybody goes crazy. It's so stupid.
The Z brings it from not funny to pathetic.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right, let's play our game.
NFL player or Star Wars character on the line, a Roomba Scuba, appropriately, a robotic, like for Star Wars, robotic vacuum cleaner that just put on the floor and it does itself. It's like R2-D2 on your carpet.
Yeah, you let it go.
NFL player or Star Wars character. May the Force be with you.
I have one of these robot vacuum cleaners in my house.
Really?
Came home, found the dog raping it.
Oh, no.
Gave birth to some robotic puppies. That would be the ultimate breed. Half dog, half vacuum. Yeah. Clean up their own crap.
As they shed, they vacuum it up.
We're going to go with one caller, so pick carefully here, Ace.
Woo. What do they have to get? Three out of five?
That caller must get 3 out of 5 in order to win the Roomba Scuba.
All right. I'm going to go with Mike because he's been on hold the longest. Okay. Mike?
Yeah.
You ready to rock, brother?
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
I warn you, Mike, this is very difficult. Level five difficulty, I'm going to say. All right. Your first one. Is this an NFL player or is it a Star Wars character? Jericho Cotchery. Jericho Cotchery.
NFL player.
That's a lightsaber going up. Correct, then.
That's correct.
It's confusing.
I didn't know.
Can we do a ding or a buzz, please?
It's, listen, how many times do we talk about this? Every time we do a game, the partial media works in.
I like it.
I'm going to kill myself.
Oh,
wait a minute. Now we're hearing the traffic report.
Hey, I said at 7:55 we had a cut bait, run best of, and move forward.
I say this segment is going to make best
all
of.
Right, here
no
we
doubt
go.
About it.
Well, just so people know, every time we do one of these games, we try to play a clever sound effect that suggests either winner or loser, whether it's porn star, whatever, Star Wars, whatever. But it's always super confusing, and Brusca screams at the after meeting. Why can't we have a buzzer and a ding?
It's not in the spirit of the game.
Yeah, like it named that poon. We didn't know it was a sound. Right? Was that good or bad?
All right. So now I'm confused. Mike, did you get it right?
Mike was correct. He's one for one. He needs to get two more in order to win the Roomba.
Mike, don't get distracted. Focus.
All right. Next one. Sigourney Autumn. Sigourney Autumn.
Star Wars character.
That's correct.
Oh, all right. There you go.
All right, he's 2 for 2. This one seems in the bag. Jabbar Gaffney. Jabbar Gaffney.
Put it in the bag, that's an NFL player.
Very nice.
Solid and confident.
I'm only sad because I wanted to hear the sound if you got it wrong to see if we'd know.
Same noise.
Same one, yeah.
Same.
Oh, that was wrong?
The blast.
Damashek's number one sport.
You don't want to get hit with a blaster, believe me. It's not good.
Just, Brusca.
If we don't do ding or buzz next time, I'm going to hit you with a blaster.
Brusca, do me a favor. Yell at Damashek during this commercial break so we don't have to waste time with it after the show. I got a manicure coming up. Patton Oswalt is going to be on after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on The Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lakewood, Colorado. A 35-year-old man was arrested after he tried to flee police and impaled himself on a wrought iron gate. The man had been caught peeping into a woman's bedroom window. Definitely not a Jew.
Patton Oswalt is on the phone. Always good to speak to you, Patton.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Patton, tonight is going to be at the Mint on Pico in Crescent Heights,
doing
a little Hurricane Katrina benefit, yes?
Yeah, me and a bunch of comedians are going to be there. It's going to be really good.
I'll tell you who won't be there, Lisa Lampanelli.
I know that she was saying some stuff about me yesterday, but I'm a little weird about saying anything mean to her. She got some really bad news this morning. Mm-hmm. She found out that she was hit by a bus 3 months ago. And that's just, you know, I don't like to kick people when they're down. It's tough.
You're saying she
just got the news today.
She's such a substantial woman size-wise that she wouldn't even know it.
It's a little rough.
Yeah. How about the people on the bus? How about the 42 dead on the bus?
I'd rather not.
I'm just
going
to explain it to them.
Yeah, some of the money tonight will go to the 42 people on the bus that hit Lisa Lampanelli 3 months ago.
If you saw the Fantastic Four, it was like the thing on the bridge.
It was just frightening. It was just a hard thing to
deal with. The rock or whatever the hell that thing is.
Well, for those who...
because I took her to dinner. We went to the House of Pies last week.
Right.
Well, now it's just called the House.
She ate all the inventory.
story?
She was so, she was really nice to me. Then, so I don't know why she attacked me. It was really weird.
Well, let's hear the clip just so everyone is caught up.
This was yesterday if you weren't listening.
Yes, Lisa Lampanelli.
Right.
The nerd, Patton
Oswalt Live. I said, listen to me. Your act has caused more moments of silence than September 11th. I said, you stink as a stand-up comic. I think he is horrendous. And I told him to his face. And he's ugly, too.
Wow. Here you are trying to raise money for the victims of Hurricane Katrina, and this is how she treats you.
Hurricane Lampanelli.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Well, it is game on between these two powerhouses, comedic powerhouses. No love lost between these great comedic warriors.
No, none at all.
Maybe we could get it on in studio, a head-to-head roast next week.
What do you say, Patton?
With jokes. If you two physically get it on, I'm going to vomit.
If she would be willing to take the five-day plane ride from New York to L.A. to do it, because, you know, the plane has to taxi the whole way when she's taking it. But,
it off the ground.
Now, is this, does she really said to you that you're not funny? To your face?
Well, I was actually kind of upset because she had a lot worse to say about me and she didn't say it on the roast and I wanted her to really rip me apart. She didn't. So, am I blowing the whole thing here?
No.
Yeah, she's horrible. I hate her.
She didn't have the guts to squat down and say it to his face. Maybe I'll get in on the roast.
It is
on, Pat, and we'll look forward to hosting the two-person roast, Lisa Lampanelli, who is, say what you will about her girth, although she is losing weight. But she will be transported via steak bed truck from New York to Los Angeles. And as soon as she passes through customs, these two will square off in our studio. Patton Oswalt, Lisa Lampanelli, a two-on-two roast.
I don't blame her for not really going after me on the roast. I did hide under a strawberry leaf, so she forgot that I was there.
So smurfy. Uh-huh. All right, Patton, good speaking to you as usual. Again, Patton is going to be performing tonight at the Mint over on Pico and Crescent Heights.
He's a formidable adversary for Lampanelli because he's, of course, already won a title within these four walls for the Nerd Off.
Yes. He wears many hats. He wears the wizard hat of the nerd and perhaps the gesture hat with the balls hanging off it. Patton Oswalt again at the Mint tonight for a very good cause. Go out and check him out. He'll be squaring off with Lampanelli in studio shortly. But first, a personal favorite of mine, Alana Eubach. Alana, you know from Legally Blonde 1 and 2 and... Meet the Fockers. She played the Spanish maid who deflowered what's-his-nose.
Ben Stiller. She was very
Meet the Fockers.
Funny.
Anyway, ball of energy, super funny, and we'll hear from her after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show.
No, I'm not talking about his hair. Hey, Ace Man, feel free to use that. We got a super heavyweight boxer, 7-foot Russian guy. Hopefully he'll beat the crap out of Damashek. Also, Press Hilton's going to be talking about the MTV Music Awards, the Friday bitch bag. Big Dad's going to recap his rib-eating contest in Reno and Japanese food-eating champion Kobayashi. Hell of a show. Silver, out.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Now, rarely do I tell Mike August, go out and get a guest for this show. I let him do his job. I let him book from within the friendly confines of the building. Again, I'll tell you, not great, not a great Rolodex for Mike August, talent booker, but from within the building, none better. You need someone from sales on the show? 2 days, you got a phoner. No problem. But someone I said to go get, I said, get Alana Eubach. Get her.
I love you, Adam.
I love you, Alana.
I do, and you're looking good, and I've been missing you.
Thank you, sweetie.
I was in the green room looking at that big poster of you and touching myself.
Alana, you know, from Meet the Fockers, Legally Blonde, Legally Blonde 2, Waiting, and many, many other movies and TV shows. But she probably, well, sidekick in Legally Blonde, but I would say the played Isabel. Or is it Isabella or Isabel?
Isabella.
She was the maid.
And Isabella. Meet the Fockers.
That's my favorite thing that she does. Because you do the Spanish math when she says that, and it is...
What was the name of the movie?
Meet the Fockers. It's so I can't really do it right now, but I mean, I didn't. Yeah, sure. She's there.
Now, the thing about Alana is slender, attractive, blue-eyed.
I love you, man.
Beautiful teeth, but they... put her in like a fat suit and aged her up in this movie. I don't know how did you get that gig?
Well, this is what happened. They had no idea what the character should be was going to be like. And the breakdown, it just said, looking for Isabella, the maid of the Fockers. So I thought, oh, okay, this is cool. So I put like a box dyed hair color on my hair from Walgreens. You know,
right.
I went out there.
Like Teresa.
Yeah, like Teresa. But it's beautiful. You're light ash brown. I was black. And I put it on, and the next day I just...
Hold on, don't cry, Teresa. Please don't cry.
I'm not a cat. I'm a dog, Teresa.
Can you do news, baby?
I'm hitting on you next, Teresa.
Okay, I feel better.
There you go. And after that, basically, I walked in, and they thought, oh, okay, she has the accent down and the spirit and everything, and then they decided to make her into a 300-pound Colombian woman. I thought, well, I can't really look like that in a day.
Well, how do you do the accent? I mean, where are you from? Where are your folks from?
My father's from Puerto Rico. My mother's from Mexico, from Sinaloa.
You seem so normal.
I look like a little Jewish girl. No, yes.
We look like we could have been in Hebrew school together.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. But I should be, in Tijuana selling chicle goma on the streets.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm from Downey, California. I was born and raised out here. And there you go.
Soft and white, Downey.
Soft and white, baby.
Well, that's what did it to you.
But I do believe my background's Sephardic, probably like yours. What's your mother? I know your father's Italian, obviously. Corolla.
Yeah, my mother is super honky, super cracker.
Wow, all right.
She makes Tom Petty look like Denzel Washington.
Ah, hence the black Irish look. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, but I know you're hot for me. I learned that when we were doing Love Line
a few
years back.
You have no idea, bro. You have no idea.
And I'm hot for you as well, but I like you in the maid accent. Not that there's anything wrong with Alana Eubach.
No, that's
but
okay.
I,
that's okay. She's right here.
I like the idea of doing it with the fiery broad from south of the border.
I know you come around, baby.
Yeah.
I like your style.
I'd like to take that smock right off you.
I like your big, thick, wonderful eyebrows. They're just so wonderful, baby.
Yeah, they got girth. Ladies say that's important.
I just want to grab them and swing you around. Swing you around like no tomorrow.
I'd like to give you the business end of your Swifter.
Okay. Dive right in, baby. Dive right in.
Does that feel good? You like it? You love it, don't you, baby?
You feel overheating.
Let me douse you with a Tecate.
Douse it.
Cool you down.
Dame la salsa.
When I hit you with that tequila, it's going to be like dipping a horseshoe into a bucket of water if the blacksmith had worked it over. You're hot, aren't you, baby? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, bro.
Good times.
Oh, God, I need a cigarette. Here you go. Wow. Nice.
You guys into that at all, or is that just me?
Talk about practicing safe sex. Okay, no venereal diseases. No. I ain't going to get pregnant.
I got you from 8 feet. Usually my range is less than 2 inches.
Two inches or less.
That's my DMZ. 2 inches or in.
Baby, it's all about wit and power. Size has nothing to do with it.
That's my law firm, by the way.
Wit and power.
That's right, in Lampanelli.
Wit and power.
Whew. All right, so Alana,
I'm
out of breath. Let's talk about where we're going to find you next.
Absolutely. I have this Velcro troupe, this comedy troupe called Velcro, and it's with Skylar Stone from Con and Zachary Johnson from Con, the Con boys from Comedy Central. And basically, all three of us got together and formed this group, and we're performing September 27th at the Upright Citizens Brigade, and it's at that funky little corner on Franklin by Bourgeois Pig and La Poubelle and Mayfair right there. I call it Screen Actors Guild Row.
Yes.
And basically, we're putting on this show, and the first 20 people who email Skylar at SkylarStone.com, they get in free booze, lots of chocolate, and real raunchy go to your room kind of humor.
And what was the name of that movie you were in again with Ben Stiller?
Yeah, Meet the Fockers.
I love it. Alana Eubach in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with her. We're also trying to dig up Lisa Lampanelli and get a little response to the Patton Oswalt attack.
Lisa Lampanelli?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Lisa Lampanelli. Do you know her?
No, no.
Oh, you could fit three of you in her.
Are you serious?
Yes. And I'm like, see you try. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Jeff Probst, and you are listening to the greatest radio and television personality of all time. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Of all time, man.
Thank you, baby.
Woo!
Alana Ubach in studio. She is from Meet the Fockers.
I am. Adam.
Legally Blonde 1, Legally Blonde 2. Yes.
Yes. No, I just had a question for you. Because you're just so big and they're calling you just the biggest DJ around and everything, you must get a lot of tail. Do you get a lot of tail?
Yes.
You do.
Literally.
You do get a lot of tail. A lot of shih tzus and chihuahuas.
Yes, a lot of tails. No, I'm a married man.
Oh, you're a married man?
Yes.
Oh my God, so, your wife's going to kill me. No, all this flirting.
No, she's too busy with her 9-week-old twins she just had.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Little girls or little boys?
I got one each.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah.
Out in the can, boom.
Yeah. Done.
So two birds with one stone. Right on.
One and done.
Right.
Actually,
on,
two
man.
And done.
Very cool.
Alana is generous enough to play a little something we haven't played in a long time on this show. A little something we like to call Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
It has been a while. Now, I'll give you a little, Lon, I'll give you a little refresher course on
Alrighty.
It, and the listeners as well. I bring up stuff. I try to shake you off as best I can. You try to kiss ass for as long as you can. Okay. Let's hear, we heard Jeff Probst. He is a celebrity champion in Ass Kiss Rodeo. Let's hear just a sample of what makes him so great.
Gosh.
I feel like I need to lose weight. I feel heavy.
You?
Bloated.
Wow. You look lean as a machine.
I love sushi.
Sushi is maybe the best meal out there.
I hate sushi.
And then there are times when sushi goes through you and you think, why'd I just eat it?
Wow.
So see how
That's
it works.
Tough.
Now I'm gonna add an extra degree of difficulty to it. I'm going to ask Alana that you do it as Isabella, the maid from Meet the Fockers.
Wow. Oh my God, this is Lee Strasberg, first year.
Jeez, I think
Louise.
You have it in you. I think you're going to be very good at this.
Oh, I hope so, for gosh sakes.
All
okay,
right.
Let's
you
do
ready
it,
to
baby.
Go?
I'm ready. See? On with the joke. Yeehaw!
All right, let's get started. Well, Meet the Fockers. I got to tell you, Dustin Hoffman is a great actor.
Dustin Hoffman is hot to trot. I like the way he emotes all over the place, baby.
I don't think he could hold a candle to Streisand, though.
But
she's a fine actress.
When you look at someone as short as he is compared to the diva of Broadway stage, it don't make a difference. It don't mean a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a little battle coming up with Patton Oswalt and Lisa Lampanelli. I think Lampanelli's 1,000 times funnier than Patton Oswalt.
I see. He is 1,000 times better, but nothing compared to you, Adam. Nothing compared to you and your funny little ways.
Yeah.
I bet you're funny all over, ain't you?
Yes. And sticky. I got to say this. I think Mel Gibson got a raw deal. I said a few things when he was drunk, but what's the big deal? Give the guy a break.
Sure, sure. Mel Gibson likes to have a good time, but I'll bet you like to have a better time, don't you, baby?
Yes,
I'll take you to Moonshadows any day of the week.
I don't know. Let's shift to the Middle East. Israel, Lebanon, I don't know. I don't know who I like more or who I like less.
I don't know, baby, but I put you in one of those burkas, and I bet you can look as hot to trot better than Osama, better than anyone. One of those babies.
You pull it up over my head?
Uh-huh. It's real, baby. It's real. My love for you is so real. And deep.
John Mark Carr. I say he's innocent.
Oh, see? Well, I say that nothing turns me on more than to see someone like you fondle a beauty queen like myself.
Ah.
Uh-huh. You kill me, baby.
A nice
you
twist.
You kill me. You kill me.
Okay, baby. Put on the cowgirl outfit. And let's
I bet
get
you
going.
Can little my sunshine, okay?
Mm-hmm. You can twirl my baton anytime, baby.
Adam, no matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
Yeah. It took a turn for the surreal there.
It sure did.
when the ass kisser became the ass kissy, I had to turn it on you because I'm so hot. When you do that accent, it just warms my cockles.
Are you serious?
I'm feeling my cockles.
How big are your cockles?
Well, it's not the size of the cockle; it's the motion of the ocean or whatever
adorable.
They say. By the way, guys, never make those excuses for your small pepe before the pants come down.
No.
You can cover that if, in fact, you make it into the bedroom.
Yes. Alana, has that happened to you?
Absolutely. You got to tell the lady what's in your account first. I always thought to myself, if I was a guy, you know, I'm 5'1".
I'm overdrawn, by the way, if that's what you want to know.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
But I always thought if I was a guy, I'd really have to make, like, either a lot of money because I know I'd be tiny. You know, I'm like 5'1". I'd probably just have, like, one of those little gherkins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd have to really make a lot of money to get myself some... I really would.
Well, we need to take a break. Lisa Lampanelli is calling in next. She's going to address this Patton Oswalt situation, and we will arrange the roast on the show live. Alana?
She scares the hell out of me, that one.
Thank you very much. Quick plug for your live show one more time.
Absolutely. The Velcro troupe is going to be at the Upright Citizens Brigade on September 27th. First 20 people who email Skylar at SkylarStone.com, the guy from Con, get in free. Free booze, chocolate. It's going to be raunchy, and you got to be there. It's going to be fun.
God bless you, Alana. Thanks for coming in. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Lisa Lampanelli after this.
More of the Adam Carolla Show coming up.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla and I'm learning everything about comedy. Will you shut up, you fat, bloated pig?
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
This is Jerry Ferrara, a.k.a. Turtle. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, well, just enough time left to talk to Lisa Lampanelli. Lisa?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
Great to speak to you, baby doll.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know if you heard, but Patton Oswalt was on the show. He's a comedian, King of Queens. You've seen that show.
You know what? Your idiot producer said you called me to talk about somebody famous. This isn't fair. Shame on you.
Well, he was on, and let me just we'll replay what he had to say about you.
Okay.
I'm a little weird about saying anything mean to her. She got some really bad news this morning.
Mm-hmm.
She found out that she was hit by a bus 3 months ago.
I wasn't laughing. I told him that is not funny.
I think it's funny.
Lisa's a dear, dear friend. I was confused, quite frankly, by the joke. And then he went on to say this.
I took her to dinner. We went to the House of Pies last week. Well, it's just called the House.
He had implied that you'd eaten all the pies, Lisa.
He's absolutely right. And first of all, shame on you, Adam Carolla.
Well,
a feud between two unfunny, unattractive losers.
We've had Dan Mashek go at it with Brusca. Why not keep the tradition alive?
You're right. And, you know, I hope Patton Oswalt, you know, he knows I love him. Before the roast, you know, he was all nervous. We had a pep talk. I swear to God, he was sweating. The last time I saw that much flop sweat, I was banging a black guy on a tire swing, okay? You know what I mean? And I was happy. You know, he acts like I'm an enemy. He's an ally to me, you know? When I heard he was going to be at the roast, I was thrilled. I knew I wasn't going to be the least funny.
He's grist for your mill.
He certainly is.
Well, I got to tell you, I got to jab in on your behalf. I said, why isn't Lisa Lampanelli woman enough to squat down and tell you face to face?
I am.
You can use it if you like.
That's hilarious. And then, you know what? All right, to clear the air. You know that I love Patton.
I don't know.
So all of the guys on the roast were, how dare you.
He was actually very upset, actually.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, yes, he was.
You got to be kidding me.
Yes, he
it's
cried.
It's a roast. What is he, a douche?
Uh-oh.
How dare
I mean,
you.
That's what cracks me up. It's like we go on, we do these roasts, we're all friends at the end, and then they get their feelings hurt when you try to promote something.
Let me say this. He's a guy who plays Dungeons & Dragons 14 hours out of the day, so his reality is skewed.
Oh,
he doesn't know the difference between reality and fantasy. So when he hears someone saying harsh words about him, he believes it. He's upset.
He's actually guys that nerd that we talk about?
Yes, he is.
Do you know that I heard he masturbates with aluminum foil so he could think he's raping C-3PO? That's what I heard.
Now, I heard that, too. It's now, all over CNN.
Now, did he call it to promote something?
No. Well, yes.
Some charity event?
His hatred of you.
His hatred of you is what he wanted to promote.
Okay, well, you know what I want to say? I would like to promote Patton's next half-hour special. He's going to release it in October. It's going to be called Cricket Cricket. And the new live performance of his tour is called Is This Thing On?
All right. Well, Lisa, I have to put you on hold because we got to take a break, but it is officially game on. Cricket Cricket. Half-hour special on HBO. Patton Oswalt, Lisa Lampanelli. No love lost between these two unattractive comedians. We will take ourselves a little extendo break tomorrow. Don King on the show. Perez Hilton, Friday's Bitch Bag. Look out. And Kobayashi as well, weighing in on Tad's rib-eating recap. So all that coming up tomorrow. And until then, this Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.